The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here,
it ships from somewhere else, isn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here in Gillette, and we're gearing up for a big hurricane coming up this weekend, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't be so excited about it if I were you.
Why not?
Because it could be the storm of the century.
Oh, God.
Remember that when you're pulling a tree out of your living room.
Yeah, I doubt it. But anyway, it's coming.
Big Balls Fred is here today, apparently.
And we'll be...
Screw Mother Nature!
Eric and I will be coming back from Detroit.
Yeah, you'll be well be, back, it'll be a little harrowing, but...
You're going to harrow
I think
the
we'll
field?
Be okay.
Yeah.
No.
But so...
It's not really... It's field turf. So.
Field turf. Indoors. Anyway, the gang's all here. Andy, Eric, Paul, Fred. Kevin's in the booth with Matt. Matt here?
He was.
He left.
He'll be back, probably.
Kevin just sent him to get food.
And Bill Belichick.
Kevin volunteered that'll be to get later. Food.
Bill Belichick had his press conference this morning, so we'll talk about all the different things.
Very good one.
He talked about
it
there.
It is what it is.
Practice. Eric's back from practice.
Yeah, pretty uneventful today.
Uneventful.
Yeah. Compared to yesterday where we had rock stars, we had college hockey coaches, we had...
I would like to thank the Patriots football ops for changing their schedule once they realized that they were conflicting with this show. They said that, oh, we've got to change up and we can't, you know, we don't want to go head to head with that show.
It's not nice to be facetious.
Players will be ducking out of practice early just to listen, you know. So it's nice of them to do that. Anyway, Web Radio.
We don't want to get any players in trouble. That's a good point.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address.
That's what Terry Glenn was listening to on his phone way back when.
508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline, and we're coming to you live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. I know I've been remiss. I haven't been saying that.
You have.
You don't say
it. I don't
right
believe
either.
You said it once the last show.
I don't think I did.
You had to say Subway Fresh.
Subway Fresh
broadcast studio.
Paul says it on the. Pre-game social.
Right. Paul's been getting into all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
With who?
Fighting with media members.
Now, Paul was on Felger yesterday. How was that, Paul?
Must have been uncomfortable for Felger.
It was good.
That was the funniest thing you've ever said.
That was very funny.
What did he say?
Must have been uncomfortable for Felger because Paul was on him.
Oh.
Get it?
Yeah.
That's because he's fat.
Thanks, to gender.
It was good...
Give me a break.
Good radio hit on Tuesday.
And you're going to be a regular guest on Tuesday?
Wednesdays. Yes.
From now on?
The start of the season.
Going up against the Pete Shepherd show.
I will.
Yeah.
I will, in fact, be going. It'll be between 4 and 5.
That's like a sumo wrestling match right there.
Yeah.
That wasn't funny. It was nothing clipped.
Whoa.
There's
got a lot going on around here.
I'm hearing gunshots in the stadium.
Well, yeah, if you hear any loud noises, they're getting ready for the Country Music Festival here. And if you haven't heard... And you had tickets for the Sunday show has been moved to Friday.
And as Andy and I were talking as we were walking down here, it doesn't seem like there is that the roadies are as anxious to get the stage built as you might expect.
I thought I'd come down and they'd be
chaos,
like freaking out because they had their schedule.
We came by and there was a guy leaning against the wall, another guy was sitting down.
Evidently they got a lot of it done yesterday.
Yeah.
apparently. Did they really? Because we just walked by and we saw the stage, and it didn't look like there was hardly anything out there.
It's country music. They don't need a big, elaborate stage.
This is Kenny Chesney.
Yeah?
He's as big as they come in country music.
Is he?
Yeah.
You're a big Chesney fan, are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty big.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
I am, too. I like him. You don't like him?
I don't know him that well. I can't say.
Well, I don't really
I like
know him. Well, I've never met him. Actually, I mean, I've been to a couple of his concerts.
I don't know. I know when I say him, I mean his music.
I couldn't tell you one
good
song.
Music.
I agree.
Good music.
I don't know.
So the modern day
can't bash him because I
Buffett.
I don't
just
know.
That
Jimmy
more
Buffett.
Relaxed.
Yeah.
Never heard a
tone.
Song that he's.
I'm not in general a country music fan.
Well, he.
But there are some country music.
And he borders on that poppy country.
He's exactly the new Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
He's become
oh, really?
The beaching. I don't think he does really the drugs as much as Buffett's people do, but I think he's
well,
you know
not
musically
a, not
he's
a
become
Buffett guy.
The equivalent.
And as well as his undershow is in that mold.
Billy Currington?
No, the other one. The band.
A KC band?
No.
They're not bringing the sunshine because of the hurricane.
Zach
Brown
decided. Band.
Oh, really?
They actually do their biggest hit now is with Buffett.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know. Ask your boyfriend.
All right. Anyway,
who's that?
Let's get
Matt
back
in
to
he's in the music
let's
industry.
Get back to football. top of the day was Bill Belichick's press conference.
Top of the morning to you.
So I guess I wasn't there, but I guess he had a lot of different things to talk about, from Bon Jovi to Rex Ryan, and then got into bit of a pissing match with Albert Breer.
Well, no, don't mischaracterize it. Breer had to ask a bunch of questions about Haynesworth, and not surprisingly, Bill didn't want to answer a bunch of questions about Haynesworth.
He was asked, you know, what kind of guy he is, and
well, didn't
Bill's
Pepper
answer.
Johnson answer those questions a few days ago? During his press conference?
Well, 2 weeks ago or
with
something.
With all due respect, Pepper Johnson's not Bill Belichick.
No, but he's probably working as close with Albert Haynesworth as anybody on this team.
Yeah.
Okay. He'd be the guy to ask.
Not to me, he wouldn't.
Well, no. But I'm sure Albert got assigned to come here to do a Haynesworth story from NFL Network.
Yeah.
And part of that is you have to get sound on tape from the
and
head coach.
He asked him, you know, what kind of guy he was.
Right. Exactly.
And the answer was he's done everything we've asked him to do. You know, so that's the kinds of responses that, you know, he asked a question and Bill's answer wasn't necessarily in response to the question.
Right.
It was words after a question that didn't necessarily have anything to do with the question.
And certainly isn't a glowing answer.
No. No, it's not like he said he was a great guy.
You ask a prison guard if the murderer is a great guy. Well, he's done everything I've asked him to do. Doesn't mean he's a great guy.
Right. So that went on. There was probably about 8 or 9 questions that Bird asked him about Haynesworth, and most of them Bill was very short, quick answers, but most of them he didn't really get into any specifics with regard to Haynesworth. So. And that was the bulk of the press conference. There was, as you said, some of the other superficial stuff. Bill's favorite movie candy, Junior Mints, for those of you who are wondering.
Junior Mints.
They're very refreshing.
Yeah, that's from Seinfeld.
But he also didn't, I know, he drops it in his belly, right?
During an operation.
He didn't, it's not like that jumped off the tip of his tongue.
Oh, no,
he
had to think about it.
Hawed
he had to think about
put
it.
Me down for Junior Mints, so I'm not sure he's totally in love with Junior Mints.
I think
Mints,
he was like, trying to think of all the different candies they had.
Right.
And then he came up with one.
Yeah.
I don't believe I've ever had one.
You've never had a
I don't
junior
like
mint?
Junior Mints.
Well, I don't like mints.
You don't like mints?
I don't like Andy's candies. I don't like anything minty.
I
thought you, of all
like
people, would like
mints.
Andy's candies.
So, Junior, how did that come up? The
well,
movie?
The Mickey Ward. They watched The Fighter last night.
Okay.
Mickey Ward
oh,
also.
The team did?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
With Mickey
gonna,
Ward.
I was just going to say, someone asked them.
With Mickey Ward.
You were a little out of the loop.
Oh, Mickey
this
Ward
morning.
Was here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We might want to beep, beep, beep back up for Fred a little.
Yeah.
They did their little movie night where they watched The Fighter. Mickey Ward was in person. They passed out a bunch of candy, Bill said.
Pepe took a picture with him.
It broke the monotony of camp, lighthearted day, and that got into the Mickey Ward talk where he said he's a local legend and legendary fighter and local athlete.
Sports figure.
Didn't want to make any comments on The Fighter and the message he was trying to send. I'll leave that up to Mickey.
Said he thought it was a great movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Didn't really get into any specifics.
And then later somebody asked his favorite candy.
Yeah, and talked about how he's done that. Those are, you know, the kinds of things he's done a lot. You know, he was asked about that.
Most reporters know that he's done that a lot.
You see?
It's past 12 o'clock.
What? What, Paul? Is there something you'd like to discuss?
No, there isn't.
Okay. I'm just saying, most reporters are well aware that almost every year,
Paul.
Bill either has Bill Russell come, he watches The Voyage Shackleton, whatever the movie was called.
Right.
Shackleton's Adventure. This is why they hate us.
Right. They show him.
Of course,
a
they didn't get
race.
Shackleton to come and watch it with them, but
yeah. Over Secretariat. Right? Exactly. Was it Secretariat? No.
No.
No. What's the one that Charlie Weiss always talks about?
Seabiscuit?
Seabiscuit? Yeah. Seabiscuit.
And yeah, they've watched real races.
Right.
And guess the horse that wins kind of thing. Pause, who's winning at the first pole.
Yeah. He wouldn't like me in those because I'd be like, oh, I remember this one. It's that one.
And you know, the Patriots aren't the only team that does this. No. A lot of teams, you know, will bring in a
they
guy.
Do it better, though.
Yeah. Well, okay.
it's like a it's a role reversal.
Really?
So that's how the movie
that's how thing, the movie stuff
okay.
came up.
Thank you.
You had but Eric, well, in our defense, Eric did preface practice today was kind of low key in comparison to yesterday when he mentioned these kinds of things went on yesterday.
Right.
The hockey coach.
Jerry York was
Jerry
here.
Jerry York from BC.
Legendary BC hockey coach.
John Bon Jovi.
One of the few people associated with Boston College that I don't hate.
Okay. All right. And Bon Jovi
this
was here 2 days
ago. Song
or just yesterday?
We know. It's the only one we ever play at the game.
Was Bon Jovi here just yesterday or today as well?
No, not today.
No, just yesterday.
Just yesterday.
I mean, he could
he
be
he could
here.
Still be here, but he wasn't at practice.
Was he in town for any specific reason? Or?
It's a good question. I don't know. Just we weren't allowed to talk to him. He was out in the middle of the field and, you know, in between the two
right.
practice fields.
Yep.
It's not like his concert is here this weekend or anything.
Right, at the Comcast Center or something.
Maybe he's
like
making a joint appearance with Chesney at some. Who knows? Special treat for the fans.
Maybe he's on his way to Nantucket.
Could be yeah. the end of my marriage.
Paul's
my,
wife would be.
My wife is actually staying overnight on Saturday, and if Bon Jovi, that could be bad. That would be it. That would be it for me.
Not for her.
If he's staying at the Renaissance,
that'd be it. She'd never come home to me and the kids again. Life
can
is
you
over.
Just look at the difference, though? Her, the guy she lusts after has like this long, flowing hair.
And weighs 110
paper
pounds.
Paper thin, wears like skinny jeans, and Paul's fat, no hair, gray.
Andy just loves to point those things out.
Huh? Yeah.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. And then practice happened.
You wait, can we get to the – wait, time out. The news of the Bill Belichick press conference.
Oh.
There was asked,
oh, there was actually news. Oh,
there was a sliver of news today.
He was asked about Mike Wright.
Oh, yeah. I did read
and
that.
Bill,
yeah.
And whether anything happening now is related
Paul
to the end of
out.
Last year. So did I.
Yeah.
Well, you don't read my tweets?
Well,
after mine.
Paul's come first.
Okay, I'm offended. Have
he's
Paul
faster. He's faster. Paul, what did you tweet out about Mike Wright?
He had mentioned that what Mike Wright is dealt with last year has no relation to what he's
no relation. That's good.
Year.
That's actually
that
good
is
news.
Actually good news.
That's
but
good news.
Sure, unless
if
know,
it's true.
Unless it's you know a season-ending injury.
Unless he blew his knee out. Yeah. But yeah, no,
well,
you're
we
right.
We saw him running.
I know you're right. It's
for his long-term health. It's good
if
news.
You take him if you take him at his word. It's not a concussion-related.
Okay, good.
Issue. So that's really good news.
But there were several people out today. Lee Bodden.
Same 14 as yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you want the total rundown or no?
Yeah, why don't you do, well, the highlight, the big guys, Cunningham, Bodden.
Yeah. Cunningham, Bodden, Spikes and Fletcher remain out. Dedrick, Brace, all the D linemen, the guys that we've basically seen throughout camp are still. It doesn't look like any closer to getting back on the field, at least not from not this week anyway.
Okay. And if they're not out of practice, they're not going to probably play
no,
in the game.
I doubt it.
But definitely. Haynesworth has a chance.
Haynesworth certainly has a chance.
Haynesworth, yeah. I expect to play.
He's been out there every
Matt
day
Light,
this week.
I would expect
except for Monday.
To play.
Bill yeah. certainly left the door open for Light.
Yeah. Other news, the Ocho Cinco hit. Ocho tweeted out that he calls Goodell dad.
Yeah,
he said
yeah.
that
pejoratively.
He will play. He will pay the fine for the guy.
He says he'll reimburse the guy.
Yeah.
Which is different than directly
right.
paying for the fine.
Right.
But I don't see how the NFL can crack down on that. I mean, it's not like Ocho's writing a check, and in the little subject line on the bottom, memo note saying, you know, for Mason Foster's fine.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
if he wants to give the guy money, that's his
right.
business.
Sure,
it's nothing the NFL can do about
that's
it.
That's right.
Unless they do something about it.
But, but they
you know,
can't.
The funny part is that they came out and, you know, I guess we'll just turn our sights here. Greg Aiello just comes out on Twitter and says, he can't. He can't do that. The NFL says he can't do that. Well, you know, that, and I retweeted that and I was like, God? I am God.
Well,
I mean, what do you mean you can't do that?
And Ocho next time will just say he's not doing it.
If Ocho wants to give
right,
him $20,000.
Well, but that's
right.
the thing.
The NFL can't stop
after
him
that,
from doing
after that.
That
happened. and then Mason Foster's fine was announced, he went back on Twitter and said the dad thing to Goodell, saying, I'm going to reimburse
him. I'm
going
to do it.
Okay, fine, Ocho. Don't tell the world you're going to do it then. Just give him the money.
But that's not Ocho's style.
Right.
No,
that's not him.
I totally agree with Ocho.
It's not worth doing.
I'm letting everybody know
people,
that you can't tell me what I can can't do.
But they're probably going to fine him now for doing that.
I'd appeal that to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fine that there's no possible way he'd have
to pay. Now, Ocho was saying he'll do that because he didn't
feel
like
it was a proper hit. It was good football.
Great.
Yeah.
He felt it was a good hit.
And we saw it. It was a tough hit.
It was a hit to the head.
It was
right to the head.
To me, in today's NFL, that was a penalty.
And you know, today's NFL, I was listening to actually Felger and Maz last night after you were.
Yeah, they were talking about this.
And you know, they feel that the way the rule is written, that it's impossible
to not be defenseless. They left out a big part of the rule. And you help me if I'm wrong. Andy, did you hear any of that on the way home yesterday? Felger and Maz were talking about the defenseless receiver thing and how, you know, a football move. Remember when we listened to the referees talk about that? You can hit a guy immediately if it's in the hitting area.
I believe so, yeah.
So the whole thing, like Felger was saying, you know, one of the simplest plays in football, a simple hitch route at the first down sticks, a guy turns his back so you can't tackle him now.
No, you can hit him.
I'm like, no, you just can't take his head off.
Right.
I mean, you can go up, like, the play they continued to show during our presentation was the Ray Lewis hit on Dustin Keller. That was as vicious as any hit in the NFL last year. Mm-hmm. But it happened under the shoulders. It knocked the ball loose. He was a defenseless receiver. He wasn't a runner at that time. He hadn't had time to protect himself. Nothing wrong with that hit because he didn't go high.
Right.
So that's what they're trying to take out is the high hit.
Right.
If Mason Foster lowered the target spot just a little, I think he was fine on that hit the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming straight forward. He didn't launch and try to decapitate him, but it was a little bit high. I thought the other hit, quite frankly, was much cheaper.
Woodhead's?
Yeah, on Woodhead. And that guy only got fined. Devin Holland, I think his name was.
$10,000
He only got fined $10,000. I thought that was far, and that drew no flag, by the way.
The only thing I disagree with you on, I think this year Foster might have been fined almost regardless. You know, you say if he moved a little. I think moving forward, I think this is the year where
they're going to
go overboard.
Right now,
125% of them are going to be called, and then next year they'll rein it
in.
But
I think that people are focusing too much on the defenseless part and not enough on where you're hitting him.
Right.
With the hue and cry, you know, everything is unfair. Might as well put skirts on him, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know.
Also,
there's
a lot of talk in the media about whether or not Woodhead should have been out there in the fourth quarter on coverage to begin with. You guys have any opinion on that?
No. I've given up on this because I know that's what Bill does. It's not about starters playing special teams to me. There's 5 minutes left in a preseason game, and there's guys out there that are looking to make hits like that
in order to
get noticed.
Right.
So to me, discretion's the better part of valor. I don't really see why you needed Danny Woodhead on the field with 5 minutes left in a preseason game.
Yep.
I have no problem that Bill likes to play his starters on special teams, and guys get hurt when they play. So that part of it, I am fine
with. I remember people saying, why is Ted Johnson out playing special teams when he got hurt on special teams?
I remember that one as well.
Yeah.
And listen, you can make an argument that you don't agree that starters should play special teams. Fine, if that's what you feel. Bill doesn't agree with that. But I do think there's a difference between my starters play special teams and I don't have another guy other than Danny Woodhead to put out there for the, you know, that stage of the game. Now, they didn't punt a lot in the game, so maybe he just wanted to get the work on. Did we punt more than three times in that game? Certainly didn't punt in the first quarter.
It wasn't much, right?
We punted in the first half. So, I don't know. I think the time of the game to me is significant because of who you're playing against. Now, if it's the regular season and it's 5 minutes left in the game and you have that lead, I have no problem with that.
Exactly.
But a preseason game, I think the other guys that would be on the field, not that the guy for Tampa Bay was trying to do something to injure somebody, but I think he's out there
trying to make a play,
ultra pumped up, trying to take advantage of one of the few snaps that he's going to get to do something to get noticed.
Yep.
So I think you increase the level of probability of something bad happening.
Yep.
Now but he's been out there this week. He missed one day.
Yeah.
I find that really astounding.
From the way he got up from that hit, I do too. I did not think he would practice this week. You know, shows you how much I know. But I said it right there, that right then in writing on the blog. I said, don't plan on seeing Danny Woodhead out in practice this week. So for him. I'm glad he is.
I would agree with you. I would have thought that they would.
I just hope he's really okay.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's rushing to get back out on the field.
I think in these days, with all the liability and all the attention, I don't think he would be out unless the doctors, you know, definitively said, he's fine.
We saw him right afterwards, Fred.
Yeah.
You and I saw him
and
in the locker room. And he did look fine.
Yeah.
He was on the phone most of the time in the locker room. He seemed like he was okay. And I guess maybe the Monday was a precautionary thing, keeping him out the first
day. He did look at me and say, Tom, you look good out there today. So I questioned him there. But other than that, he looked good.
You really shouldn't joke about that stuff.
What?
What?
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the email address. What else do we need to talk about before we get to calls and emails? Anything else?
Oh, I brought a little thing down. I don't know if we have time at this point.
It's a laptop.
You always bring little. Well, never mind.
What do you got?
Go ahead.
Piggybacking on the top 100 from NFL Network,
yes.
ESPN Scouts, Inc. came out with their top 200 NFL players. And I don't know if you ever click on their stuff. They do it. They grade everybody, a numerical grade. You know, 90 is up near the top, straight on down through. Supposedly, they're all ex-scouts and legitimate scouting service. They came out with their top 200. Brady was number one on their list. The Patriots that were included, Will Fork at 30, Mankins 47, Mayo 53, McCourty 87, Welker 93, and then a big jump to 181 and 182, Gronk and Hernandez. Those are all the Patriots listed.
Back to back, huh?
Yeah, I think they just said, let's put him
exactly.
in. Exactly. Although they shouldn't, because they base it on numbers. It's not like my roster rundown in our paper where I go, let's put these two together.
Right, and without even a description, just we start running them off.
But I thought that was interesting, just who's on there, who's, you know, Will Fork significantly higher than Mankins and Mayo.
Well, and in case you didn't get this week's PFW yet, Andy did grade the whole, well, not grade, but he ranked the Patriots roster from top to bottom. He didn't just stop with the top 45. He went all the way to 90, right?
That's right. Well, 89, because that's all
because
we
don't have that many. But
And my 89 changed because I had Zach Roth at 89, and we cut him, so I was right.
Right.
He was the bottom guy on the roster.
There you go.
Back up to 90 now.
So that's in back up, and
they added
Barry?
Mike Barry, who was with the team for a cup of coffee at the beginning of camp.
Okay.
Offensive lineman.
Looks like he ate more than a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I'm sure he drank it, too.
How does Haynes, speaking of how he looked, how does Haynesworth look out there from what you can see?
I mean, really all week.
Any difference from what he was before?
No.
2 weeks
But he
ago?
Looked fine before.
He didn't look overweight for a guy his size. You would think a guy with those numbers is going to look like just a blob.
And with his reputation.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a huge guy.
He's a huge man.
Big, wide, tall, everything.
Tree trunks for legs.
Yeah.
He's massive, but he's not slovenly. He doesn't look like that. He doesn't, like, fill out a uniform the way you would expect a guy like that to.
The way Will Fork or Kyle Love
Will Fork, you know, his...
He leads with his gut.
His gut precedes him,
right?
If you will,
he's like Paul.
He's the prototypical Ted Washington type,
right.
Nose tackle, big, huge upper body, and the little legs.
Exactly,
you know,
and the little legs.
And really, that's always. I mean, today was especially tough at practice because we got kicked out right at the end of stretching, which is now just the line of run back and forth from one side of the field to the other. And as we're headed down the stairs, they called us back and said, "No, our mistake. You can come back." We all got back up, lined up, got the cameras set up and everything. And like a minute later, okay, that's it, guys. All right, whatever. So not much to see out there. And then when they do break up from the line team stretching, they go to positional stretching for further stuff. Then they break into drills, and we almost get to see one of those drills before we get kicked out.
Sean Ellis is out there, correct?
He has been.
Is he still in shorts or is he actually?
No, he's been full pads. No.
And so does he have a chance of playing on Saturday?
Chance, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he came off PUP last Saturday.
Yep.
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they can have Ellis, Haynesworth, Wilfork, and Carter out there at one time.
Although I wouldn't be surprised, Fred, if they keep Haynesworth out of the game.
Really?
Just for the sake of not giving other teams any sort of tape on what they plan to do with him, how they plan to use him. I know it's kind of ridiculous because he's been in the league for so long. You know what he can do.
Right.
But it wouldn't shock me. That's all I'm saying.
I'm also not sure those guys are going to play together. I think Ellis is going to be a tackle. I don't think he's going to be a defensive end.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask Bill about that today, too.
Okay, Paul. How come you never ask what you was going to ask about?
Too many questions about candy.
Paul was going to say it. He was going to ask.
Paul, very snippy about today's press conference. It Not enough substance.
As I said to Andy, I know I say this a lot. Worst ever today.
Really? Just disgusting.
And then Andy actually made it the point, the Mike Wright nugget of information makes my statement incorrect. It doesn't go down as the worst one ever because there was a relevant factoid that Bill offered us about Mike Wright not having anything to do with last year.
Were there a lot of people at the press conference today? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Regular.
Not as many as regular most attendance. Days, but right. For what's technically a Friday press conference, okay. Friday-like.
And another bit of NFL news going on. Peyton Manning, what do you think the chances of him not starting that first regular season game?
17.
I mean, they just brought in Kerry Collins, which obviously looks like
two-year
a move
deal.
Like they need a guy.
$4 million.
Who
50,
can just
50,
come in.
Right?
And, yeah.
I think it's 50-50.
50-50.
Tom Brady says it's zero. He was asked
well,
about that.
A lot of people
that
was, said that.
But that was before.
Before Collins came in.
And before, more importantly to me, Colts officials said that they don't think he's going to be ready for the opener. So that's a little bit different than, you know, oh, yeah, he'll play or,
right.
You know, whatever.
Right.
Tony Dungy, he'll have to be dead, which, as Andy pointed out, was a dumb thing to say. The guy can either play or he can't play. I mean, it's got nothing to do with desire.
Now, he had this operation in May. Was that it? May,
I think?
I don't remember.
I thought it was later than that.
Was it? Well, my point is he had the operation before they gave him the new big deal, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they knew going in. So chances are they know what the outlook is for this. And this is just, you know, it's taken a little bit slower than they thought. But he's going to be okay.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't think it's going to be a long-term problem. But the way I was listening to them talk about it last night, when you're dealing with, like, nerves regenerating, there's no timetable.
True. Charlie Weiss. He had that problem when he had the operation on his stomach, and they screwed up. I don't know if they screwed up. He sued him, I think. But his nerve in his leg never came back. You know, it's a tricky thing.
So that's what they're waiting for right now. That's why he wouldn't be able to play, because that, I guess, those nerves haven't regenerated properly yet.
Think of how many nerves are in that neck, Fred.
It's a lot of nerves.
And it's sensitive because it's a penis neck.
Oh, my God.
That's what he calls him.
But, you know, we're being somewhat serious about a man's health.
He's fine. He's not going to die.
Oh, but his career.
Well, who was it?
No, his career is not going to be affected.
Could.
Have handed him $100 million if they thought
that was
his
my
career
point,
was
but
affected.
Like Paul said.
Well, who was it? Ed Reed?
There's no definitives when you have that type of surgery.
But the only question is, can he play week 1, 2, 4? If they had
or
any
can
doubt,
he look left to right?
If I think they had any doubt, I don't think they would have handed him $100 million.
I don't either, but things happen.
Sure.
You know?
If he rushes back too quickly and gets hit.
Right.
And then screws up whatever the surgery did to try to correct the problem.
Right.
That's an issue.
Yes, it is.
Not just, you know, for his health.
I mean, look at Steve Grogan. I mean, I don't think he had the same thing, but he took a beating and had to wear the horse collar. How many quarterbacks do you see that had to do that? I mean, he was just a nut.
Might have been the only one.
Yeah.
I can remember.
With today's.
Jim Jensen.
Jim Jensen?
Yeah, but
another
he was a
guy?
Receiver.
That was Crash.
Yeah.
Crash. Tight end.
Right. I mean, in today's medical knowledge, maybe they wouldn't have let Grogan come back as soon as he did.
Maybe not.
You know?
Yeah, I think it was Ed Reed that actually said there's no way he would have that surgery.
Oh, yeah. He said he wouldn't
have
played.
Ed Reed?
Yeah, Ed Reed said he wouldn't.
Said that,
he'd be done.
He would have retired.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get to some emails, shall we? Everybody all ready for that?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. Richard writes in. He's from Nottingham, England.
Hey, Dick.
Hey, Sheriff.
He says, hello to the PFW lads and Eric. That could mean you're a man, not a lad. Right?
Could.
I don't think
it doesn't,
so.
But it could.
Best show in months was Tuesday. I just thought I'd start out by
saying.
Who
wasn't here?
That the Tuesday show was hysterical for two glorious hours. Keep up the great work and a welcome break from the summer of Andy. No question, just an over or under game. Ready? For over or under game?
Yeah, go ahead, shoot.
Mayo, 100 tackles and 10 sacks.
Over on tackles, under on sacks.
Under.
I'm going to go
under.
I'm going to go under on both.
Really?
But a great year. I mean, I don't think the defense
is going to be better. He's not going to be able to make 100
tackles.
He's going
to need to have 100.
And he's on the edge. You're cutting half the field off.
Brady, 35 touchdowns.
Over.
I think he's going to have 42.
Over.
What was that one?
42?
Yeah. Brady touchdowns, 35.
I'll go over.
Law firm, 1,000 yards.
Under.
Under.
Over.
History tells us otherwise, doesn't
Paul
it, Andy?
Says over. Ridley, 1,000 yards.
Under.
Under.
Andre Carter, 8 sacks.
Over.
I'm going to say over.
Over.
8.
I'm buying Andre Carter.
Okay. Haynesworth, 10 tackles for a loss, single or assisted.
Tackles for a loss.
Over.
Over?
Over, sure.
Okay.
Under.
Ocho Cinco, crazy tweets, 2.
Over.
Oh, come
over.
On.
Yeah. Over.
How about
that was
the
at
game?
Practice. That was at that practice.
How about within the 90-minute window? Perillo, Miller Lights, 8 million.
Well, I'm going to go push.
What's the time frame here?
That's a little bit, I have to say under, but.
For the season.
Yeah.
7.9.
Yeah. Under. Yeah.
Mr. Draft,
career?
False statements, 10 million.
Mr. Draft, what?
False statements, 10 million.
Under, because it's zero. Next time I'm wrong will be the first.
But who's Mr. Draft? Is it you or Eric?
He's Mrs. Draft. I'm Mr. Draft. We've clarified that in the past.
What, do you have a mouse in your pocket?
Man of the
You do.
Man of the people, Fred Kirsch, voted into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Back there.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
No chance.
As a contributor.
To what?
This radio show.
You did do 3 games to glory.
One, I did two, not do three. That.
I thought that was your project.
I helped out on it.
That was a Fred Kirsch production.
So who did it?
Really, NFL Films did it. Oh. And Kraft Sports Productions got a lot of the raw footage. You know.
So there's no replays in that either?
What did you help out on?
And that's why
a lot of the script writing and stuff like
that.
You
can have another discussion with somebody who says don't make fun of him anymore.
I work with somebody from NFL.
Seriously?
Let's see. Larry writes in. Just to point out, we were talking the other show about Ocho Cinco not absorbing the playbook fast enough.
Correct.
And Larry says to point out Moss had all the time following the draft to absorb the offense. Due to the lockout, Shad was not afforded the same opportunity. Give him time.
That's correct.
That's right.
That's a good point.
Did he have all the time, though? Remember that whole thing where Bill said he's kind of got his own schedule, so we're not exactly sure when he'll be here?
At least they probably gave him
a playbook. Sure they gave him a playbook.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be sure of that because they didn't give free agent signings playbooks in the past. But the point is still valid.
But he
had
more time.
He had a lot more time.
And I think that Moss is unique. I think he is a football savant. He's one of those guys that he just gets it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing on TV that the Packers playbook fell off a recycling truck? It was just strewn about the streets.
What?
Must have been
really?
The one that they used last week or whatever. And you know how they get rid of them and they have a new one and I think they shred them here, but they must have a company that comes and picks them up and just fell off the back of the truck and was just blowing through neighborhoods.
Shredders here.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. Did you see
Paul, Wiggy, would you like to discuss something?
Wiggy had his playbook on 98.5 yesterday.
Yeah, Jermaine Wiggins brought in a playbook.
He wouldn't say what team it was, but it was a West Coast offense, and Felger has deduced that it must have been Green Bay. I'm sorry, Minnesota, from his days with Childress.
But it was funny because they had Maserati reading the plays, left zing, all that stuff, and it was pretty funny. And it also shows how.
Then he read one in his Boston accent.
There's a lot to learn there,
Sort of.
Oh, here we go. Nice. I played football. I know.
What is your problem?
Nothing. But the receivers don't necessarily learn the protections, and the quarterback has to know it all. But you listen for your keys.
Right. That's true.
You're not learning every of a two.
That's
25 word sentence. You're learning your 8 words or whatever.
That's true. But a good player, as I was taught when I was in high school, knows everyone else's role too.
How many guys you think in that locker room can answer yes to that?
None.
I can tell you
none.
That. Mayo, McCordy, the great ones.
No,
the
know.
Ones that get
you're
that
right.
from Bill.
Right.
Merriweather?
Right.
No idea.
Yeah.
He barely knows what he's doing.
I was told by,
that's true. And those are the ones Bill loves.
I was told by the real Will McDonough, from the Boston Globe, that never ask a football player about football because they don't know anything.
It's true.
What's
that smell?
Lunch.
Lunch just arrived.
Brett in Brockton writes in, hello, men. After 2 preseason wins, the defense as a unit looks strong, flying around and breaking up plays. My question, Do you think they're as good as they look to this point, or is it a product of playing with a lead in both games? And after the last three seasons without a pass rush, should I be looking forward to a good, timely pass rush this season, or not be so optimistic about it?
Be Brett's, optimistic.
Brett's and Brockton.
They're not. They don't look. They're not as good as they've looked, but yeah. They're better than they were last year.
And I think that they showed a lot of this pressure before they had leads in these games. I mean,
early on.
Yeah, no, first quarter. The pressure is improved. Right. The pressure is definitely improved.
Yeah.
But Josh Freeman couldn't think. I mean, it's not going to be that good every snap, every play. Three and out and then 7 points, three and outs, another. That's a little
And
ridiculous.
You played Blaine Gabbert the week before, who was a rookie, in his first game action
he's
in the
jack.
NFL.
I mean,
he really is a jag, yeah.
All right. Lunch is here, so we're going to take a quick break so we don't talk with our mouths full. And it's Paul bought today? Really?
Paul bought today?
Wow. Thanks, Paul. I guess all these gigs are really paying off that he's got.
No, he just needs to eat, and he feels guilty if he just orders for himself.
All right, well, we'll be right back, and Christian is on the line. We'll talk to him after the break.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Alright, fact. McDonald's Chicken McNuggets are great, but the sauce is like the razzle to the McNugget dazzle, the hip to the hop, the flip to the flop, and now there's new sauces, so zing is zestier, lips smackier, sweet spicier, mouths waterier, and slams even dunkier.
Crispy, juicy, made with white meat chicken, and now four new sauces. Spicy buffalo, creamy ranch, honey mustard, and sweet chili. It's the biggest thing to happen to Chicken McNuggets since Chicken McNuggets happened. The simple joy of making ooze eyer. At participating McDonald's.
What are you drinking?
I'm a college student, and I pretty much survive on Dunkin' iced coffee. During finals, it's the one thing that gets me through. When I'm cramming hundreds of pages of history all into one night, Dunkin' iced coffee keeps me going. So I can remember everything the next day when I take the exam. Then 5 minutes later, I forget it all.
When you need a boost, pick up a delicious Dunkin' iced coffee. America runs on Dunkin' coffee. Hey, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' iced coffee. Hazelnut with a little milk. As a teacher, I never know when something might go wrong. But I know my coffee will always be right. Just perfect.
Miss Johnson, Joey won't share.
Gotta go.
Today's lesson, America's favorite iced coffee is made any way you love it. Hurry in and grab one today. America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly brewed iced coffee. Always made exactly the way you want it. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
But, yes, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it too.
No,
you got to make it. You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back there in PFW in progress. Was that a Kevin Collins ad read? I heard
it was.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Moving up in the world.
Doing reads now for
well, we actually have real sponsors now, Fred. So
yeah,
gotta do right by him, right?
Next thing you know, they'll be asking us to do reads.
There you go.
There was also no one to tell him not to do the reads, so I think he probably just did it.
No, but that's good.
Gotta get it done.
Yeah, you know, because we didn't. Usually, we use a guy named Rob Schuler, who's very good.
I think what happened was that the read needed to be done at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was the only one here.
That is true.
So.
Why didn't you have the talent do it?
Right away. Well, you weren't going to come in at 3 o'clock in the morning, so.
I'm glad you assumed what I meant by talent.
And especially if you don't get anything free out
right.
of it. You're definitely
I told you, I'll do reads when I get free things.
Yeah, well,
them.
Unfortunately, we're not getting anything free out of these reads. So.
What was that read for? I missed it.
It was just for Duncan. And it's not even a read. It's just a tagline at the end of the. What they do is they keep the same commercial for a while, but they change the 10-second tagline at the end. To promote either, like, you know, for iced coffee for the summer, and then it would be hot coffee.
Oh,
for
or their
winter.
New
or the new
chicken
sandwich.
And tuna.
Yeah. So
I had the chicken salad; it's pretty good, but it's just loaded with mayo.
Yeah, Adam, not a big.
Did you have it on a croissant?
Yes, I did.
Oh
it
my
was, it
god,
it was very tasty. I have to say,
strippers, look it up now. I want to know how many calories is that's got to be 1,000 calories.
You think so?
Because those croissants
are
heavy
they
in calories,
a lot of butter?
And yeah. If there's a lot of mayonnaise, wow, yeah. You probably had a. Was it worth it? 1,000 calories?
It was probably the only thing I ate that day, so it probably was.
I don't buy it. Did you wash it down
no,
with
I
a shake?
It. You don't buy anything.
All
right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to it right now. Chris with a TIAN. How you doing?
All right, gentlemen.
Cheater, 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 cheater. You're a cheater.
Are you done, you five-year-old?
You have no idea what admixed is.
Let me tell you something.
I showed him that word yesterday. He was just start shaking his
you
head.
You downloaded
Christian.
The cheat app, didn't you?
I did not download the cheat app. It defeats the whole purpose of playing the game.
Yeah, I know, but okay? That's just how you are.
No, that's not how I am. You call my question, my character into question.
He does that all the time.
He does that to everybody, Christian.
My initials are CS, not BB.
Oh. Oh. Wow.
Mark tape.
That's a shot, but what do you want me to tell you? That's what happens when you don't win a playoff game since 2007.
Jeez, the gloves are off.
Listen, I'm fine. I actually call because I'm enthused about the defense. And everybody, you know, everybody says don't take a lot out of preseason. But, you know, I mean, I remember last year when they played St. Louis and Bradford smoked them. And, you know, it was sort of a precursor that they were going to be pretty bad in the secondary. And 32nd is about as bad as you can get. So, I mean, I'm really encouraged. Just the fact that they're getting after people finally. And, you know, I can look at the game and say, okay, this defense looks like it can get a stop. So.
And it's not just that. It's not just the change in scheme. It's the guys that they brought in, even though we haven't really seen Haynesworth and Ellis yet, can do what they might be asked to do. They've done it before. They're proven
yes.
players. So, yeah, I mean, I think there is a reason to be optimistic.
Definitely is, because it should get better with Ellis and Haynesworth on the field, even adding Cunningham to whatever rotation he's going to be a part of, adding Spikes to a middle rotation or whatever. There's plenty of bodies that haven't been out there.
But it's better, I think, for Cunningham to be a sub-rotational type of player, not to be the guy that's out there for most of the snaps trying to make the plays.
I like him on early downs. I think he's a pretty good run player. I think he might be able to rush the passer a little, and he'll get matchups based on, you know, being opposite Andre Carter and with Mayo over there sometimes. But I think he's an early down guy, and then some of the other guys, Mark Anderson, maybe the sub-rusher types.
And what's your take on this upcoming game? I'm kind of curious if Vereen plays to see what he does, because everything coming out of school was that this was the guy that was sort of the elusive, but, you know, I mean, it seems like Ridley really is, you know, a pretty good runner.
Well,
and he has more slip, shake, and bake, as you say, than you thought he did. But, I mean, Vereen's been hurt a lot, so, I mean, I kind of don't know what to expect.
Yeah, a lot of people liked his versatility coming out. I'm intrigued to see what he is. Obviously, the Patriots had him higher on their board, I would suspect, because they drafted him higher in the draft. And other people liked him, and they were afraid they'd lose him if they waited. So you have to be intrigued by that because of what you said. Ridley has looked so good, and if this guy's better than Ridley, wow, now we really got something and a couple of young backs out there. But biggest thing I'd be looking for is making sure Ndamukong Suh doesn't rip Brady's head off. Yes, get anywhere near him. Because last week, if you remember, there were some hits on him. There was that hit on the right knee that was a little bit of a hold your breath, and you don't want to see that with Suh doing the damage because he smells blood in the water, and he's got that killer instinct.
He's already been fined $20,000 this summer for a hit, so maybe he's going to hold back a little bit. I wouldn't bet on it, but that's just something to keep in mind too. One other thing, Christian, about the rookie running backs, you might have a better chance of seeing Vereen this week than Ridley because Ridley's been out of practice, and Vereen has just come back the last couple of days. So there's a possibility they might be a little bit understaffed at that position, that he might get a little bit more of a chance later in the game. Not as much early, but maybe later
Plus,
on.
Plus, if Woodhead is, even though he's practicing,
if he's not 100%
as much in some of those change of pace roles, you might see.
Yeah, the reps might add up for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And finally, what's Kevin Falk? Hasn't practiced at all. Is he still on PUP?
Yep. PUP. I would expect him to stay there
until
week six or after week six.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think it's perfect for this mix of young guys because if something happens and you're not happy with the backfield, now you can add a pretty sure thing sometime in the middle of the season to the lineup.
Yep.
And he'll be fresh.
And he's not rushed back. Okay, thanks, Christian.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Cheater.
Strippers tells me and us that the sandwich is only 560 calories.
Wow, I'm surprised.
So, it is chicken.
No, I was – the mayo and the croissant were what I thought would carry all
Maybe they're using a light mayo. You never know.
Gerard?
Let's see. Phil in Salt Lake. Hey, guys, love the show. I've been enjoying the pregame social and the postgame shows. Now we just need to figure out a way that we can hear from the A-team, even Eric, right after the game instead of waiting 2 days or more to hear your reaction. Well, it is what it is, as they say.
To do what that listener said last week. Pony up, send us money to do this full-time, and we can get some slappy Eric to do the paper.
Last week after Baltimore put up 21 on the Chiefs in the fourth quarter of a meaningless game, Todd Haley, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, was not too happy about having the score run up on him. This was after a similar outburst against our former guy Josh McDaniels when the Broncos ran wild all over the Chiefs. Seeing as we play the Chiefs this year, do you think Bill might keep his foot on the gas the whole game and blow them out? I think the Chiefs are going to take a step backwards this year. I would sure like to see Haley try to get in Bill's face after getting pounded by Brady and the boys. What do you think? Now, I didn't know that. He was unhappy.
He took issue with the score.
What is his problem?
He's a zebra's vagina.
He's a little biatch.
Yeah,
is what he is.
It seems that way, huh?
And I know there's some stories, and Andy and I were talking about this, about last year with Denver that may have been more than just running up the score. It may have been sort of a result of the taping that Denver was doing and caught doing last year. There's some stories that Haley knew what he was doing and he was sort of chastising him. This one, to me,
stupid.
Is utter ridiculousness. You're telling me that Baltimore shouldn't try to get an extra play for some kid who's been busting his butt every day at training camp to get an opportunity to get in the end zone late in the game? And I know what they did. They called timeout. in the last 10 seconds to run one more play from inside the one-yard line. I have absolutely no problem with that in the preseason. I mean, now, listen, if you call timeout and you wanted to get your starters in to work on goal line offense,
yeah,
that's a little different. That's a little different. This was a bunch of no-name guys that aren't going to be in the NFL. You know, Richard Medlin from week one in the preseason here. I don't see why that John Harbaugh should have to deprive a kid like that an opportunity to make a touchdown. I mean, that's Todd Haley just needs to grow up a little bit.
He's not very well liked. There's been a lot of comments about him. You know, his dad, it was his dad got him into the league, and he has this chip on his shoulder that he's always trying to prove himself. And there's a lot of people that don't care for
his. What surprises me in that situation is that Pioli's putting up with it. I would imagine that this would not rub well with Pioli.
But you hired him.
I know. But
so to just cut ties, and you've been winning.
Yeah.
To blow it up, that doesn't look good.
Maybe there's a little bit of that in Pioli, too. Maybe he still feels like he has something to prove.
Right.
You know, he's the son-in-law of one of the best coaches in the league. He worked with this, one of the best coaches ever in the league. Maybe he has the same kinship with Haley because of that.
Plus, I'm not sure it's something that would, you know, cost a guy his job.
Right.
I mean,
it's more.
Well, but when he does it there, he's probably doing other things, too. I mean, that just doesn't.
No, I know, like Andy said, he's not well-liked, but, I, you know, I personally, if I was the GM, I wouldn't care as long as I had a working relationship with the guy and the guy won.
Well, it also trickles down to there was the talk of the Charlie Weiss that had something to do with it, and if that's hurting your team because he can't get along with Charlie Weiss. Now, I have questions about both those guys and how they get along with the people they work with. So I'm not picking a dog in that fight, but Pioli probably has a better understanding of why that relationship didn't work. And if your head coach, who isn't a genius by any means, in my opinion, on either side of the ball, he's not, well, I gotta keep him because he runs my this or my that. Then you have to consider he's hurting the team, the overall product. But they're winning. So, I mean, they won last year. The improvement was there.
You're seeing, it's a franchise that looks like it's on the uptick. Ross from Glasgow says, I'm back after 3 months of having no internet and having to use my phone to listen in.
Huh.
This stopped me from emailing. My neighbor's phone company decided to disconnect my line and put his broadband service on my line. Stupid morons wouldn't believe they had got the wrong phone line, wouldn't speak to me on the phone because I wasn't the account holder. By the way, Fred, when is the new iPhone app coming out that will allow multitasking? Matter of weeks. Ross, so.
And everybody else who wants it is clamoring for it.
Right. It's coming very, very soon. In fact, either today or tomorrow, I should be seeing the app on my phone. And once we approve it, we'll send it to Apple. And then it's a matter of a week or so before it gets live in iTunes. So you'll see it soon.
I have to update mine? How does that work?
You'll get a little icon on your app thing that says you have a new app to download. And you just. Yeah. Go to the iTunes store and it's just...
You haven't gotten those yet?
Yeah, and I got yelled at because I downloaded an Angry Birds update and Deidre claims it lost half her levels or something.
Ooh.
Fred, are you mourning the stepping down of Steve Jobs at Apple?
Not necessarily mourning. I think he obviously... I mean, this guy goes down into the Hall of Fame of CEOs. I mean, what he did with that company
might be at the top.
Against
actually.
All odds, I might say, because there was a time when Apple, you know, before iPhone and all this, where they said there's no way they can compete with, you know, the Microsofts of the world. And not only did they compete, but
they
surpassed winning.
Them. Yeah.
You know, so amazing. I hope this Tim Cook guy that's taking over can be half the leader that Jobs was and really a visionary. You know, he.
Kind of like you.
Well, no, but
he wears jeans all the time, too,
you know,
just
what,
like you.
What Jobs did was he must have hired good people, one, but then
like
he,
you.
Yeah, he gave them the inspiration to think beyond the box.
Well, now, he does get a lot of credit for all of his computer products, his iPhone, the iPad, iTunes, all that stuff. How much of those were all his idea, though, or were they a product of... You know, group sessions are coming up with
I'm
him.
Sure
he gets all the credit
for it. He gets
them.
All the credit, and I think he deserves it because he pushed people to come up with those ideas. And I think he's one of those guys that he is a good coder. He's not just a hands-off. He knows, like, the tech part of it. But I think, like, he's also a guy that when he sees it, he knows it. And I think he pushed people to do good things, and you know, and when they got to the point where that's good,
but
he knew it.
Well, but I mean, like, was he the guy who said, you know what, we need to have a phone that can do a million different things, or was it somebody else, you know, down in the cubicles who came up with it, and now he gets to take all the glory for it?
Well, I think like you, I think he wanted to get into the phone business, but
the parallels are uncanny.
But he also was one of those guys, like, as far as user interface goes, and you know how it works. He was the guy that says, no, it's got to be simpler. It's got to be more elegant. You know,
but don't you think their greatest – I think their marketing is their greatest strength.
That's
I mean, it works. It all works. Don't get me wrong. I love my iPhone more than anything. But the job they've done marketing and making people sleep in line to want a stupid phone and get a new one in 6 months, even though they just bought one that was supposedly the greatest thing, that whole – I don't know how they – if he did that or if he has a marketing genius that's more in the back room, but – to me, that's the greatest thing that anyone's ever done is the image and the marketing strength of that company.
But all that wouldn't work unless the product
right.
was good.
No question. Yeah. But I think there's other companies that have good products.
Yeah.
But they somehow got U.S. techies like you to buy in that this is the greatest thing ever, and I have to have it every time it comes out.
Right. No, it's absolutely true. Ross also says, just wanted to ask, what got into Bill during the press conference? Did Albert Breer park in his space or take a pee in his coffee? I've not seen Bill make a reporter's life so difficult since he gave Eric a hard time over Cunningham question in the 2010 draft. Not that I mind. So
it's kind of what Bill does.
You know, I just don't think he...
I really didn't think it was anything out of the ordinary.
I didn't either until I started getting tweets about it.
Yeah, no, a lot of people have been asking me, too, what happened. I had a couple of people email me. I thought it was a very normal Bill reaction to a centralized line of questioning. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, generally, the press conferences don't have multiples of 3, 4, 5 questions on the same topic.
Unless we're talking about kickoffs.
Right.
We dedicate the whole press conference to it.
By the way, he got sort of annoyed with that, too.
Yeah,
you know,
when it came up again
the
other day.
And that was not anything negative in any way, shape, or form. So I think Bill kind of grows tired of having to answer questions like that. And, you know, I'm not saying it's right. I like I said, I thought there was some easier answers that he could have made that you had talked about, Freddie, earlier. But I didn't think it was anything out of the ordinary.
Yeah, when it comes to a touchy subject, especially when there's like legal issues and a guy going to court and off-field issues, Bill is not going to entertain any question on that subject because he knows it could lead to an area where he just doesn't want to answer. So he just cuts it off. And, you know, if you're going to continue asking me these questions, I'm going to really start to bristle. And that's his way of just building that wall in front of any topic that, you know, gets touchy.
Well, much like Apple, Bill's great. The product of Bill is great, and obviously that's why he succeeds. But I think the most remarkable thing he does is regularly answers questions with, I don't know. Yeah, you do. You're the head of this team. You know everything that goes on here down to the biggest tee.
Right.
And yet he'll say, I don't know, and we'll just move on to, well, in a lighter note, do you like Junior Mints?
Right.
Like, you know, I know you know. So why does no one ever ask?
Right.
You know what I mean? But he has made this place where he can say, I don't know, and we move on.
Yep. Jay in Pennsylvania, I think the Pats bringing in Garrett Mills was a good move. If they are going to feature two tight end sets with Gronk and Hernandez as the two guys, it makes more sense to have a backup for each. I also think that the extra roster spot for a tight end is going to come from Brandon Tate, minus receiver plus tight end.
Yeah, it's possible.
So four tight ends?
Four tight ends, five receivers.
I just want to say, I don't think that Garrett Mills is capable of being a backup for really either one of those. Definitely, without question, not capable of being Gronkowski's backup.
Yeah, he's more...
I suppose you can make an argument...
More like Hernandez,
yeah,
but
you
he's
can make
not
an
a wide
argument
receiver.
That he could be a receiving offline...
Ish.
Sort of tight end,
yeah,
like Hernandez.
Ish.
Now, I don't think
he's more of a fullback.
He doesn't have anywhere near the size, doesn't have anywhere near the athleticism from what I've seen of Garrett Mills. So I don't even think he could be a backup to Hernandez.
Yeah.
If he makes the team, it's because Bill wants another one of those sort of hybrid,
like a Chris Cooley,
multiple positional kind of pass catchers.
But see, Cooley is more. Kind of more like Hernandez in his receiving skills. I don't think Mills is nearly that good.
Cooley's good.
Cooley's very Cooley was a Pro
Mills
Bowler.
Is a guy, just a guy who
I
was
wasn't
on the
comparing
street.
The talent. I don't think Fred was either. No. I think he was just saying this, but the kind of role that he plays. I mean, Garrett Mills has played in how many games in 4 years?
I don't know, but he still has practice squad eligibility.
Still has practice squad eligibility.
Being in the league since 2006.
That's where he could end up. Because he's a good practice player, because he's got that size, athleticism build where you can use him at linebacker, safety, whatever you need for the week.
Wouldn't it just be, the be all end all if they cut him at the end of camp to make room for him on the practice squad and Minnesota decides to pick him up again?
Or he goes to NFL Network to work with Childress.
Speaking of Chilling. That, I guess Heath Evans.
Yes.
Is retiring and going to work for the NFL Network?
Yep.
Moved to L.A.
Full time. He did a little bit of that in the preseason. We saw him, I think, the first
here.
Game here he was doing.
Yeah. Me and Reese were kind of heckling him from behind.
Brian writes in.
He's trying to do his job, Paul. I mean, come on.
Brian is the fox in
New
Mexico.
That's fine. He takes it to something dirty.
Who's he? Who are you pointing at?
You.
Because no one on air said anything.
You.
Brian says, been reading some books on Belichick and his father. If I understand what I've been reading about the offense, every passing play, every receiver is expected to make a read and has several options on the play, and the quarterback and receiver are expected to make the same read and adjust without any communication. Yep. Am I understanding that right?
100%.
Yeah, I believe it's three, right? There's three different things that they can do on every play.
Oh, I don't know the number, but every receiver has reads on his route. That's why this, Taylor Price gets here late and he can't catch up. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
It's based on the coverage and all that,
And it's why Ocho.
Blitzes and
whatnot. In Cincy, they just told me to run a 7, and I just ran a 7, and he threw it. It's a major difference.
I consider it heresy to disregard Moss like this, but I take what I saw on Sundays to mean he wasn't taking part in that process, in which case the offense really is drastically better having obsessive football nerds like Deion Branch and Ocho Cinco out there.
Oh, that's incorrect. Moss was very much on board with what they
were
doing.
I think it's an effort thing. It wasn't
Moss
an
wanted to be
thing.
The central focal point of the passing game. And for the first 3 years he was here, he was. And when he wasn't, he didn't like it anymore. Now, you can hold that against him, certainly. But he absolutely was on board with the system.
All this has me curious to hear you guys speculate about how Taylor Price is coming along on these reads. Seems like if a guy with his athletic ability can take part in the system as designed, it will be Alfred Hitchcock scary. Stay Subway Fresh.
Thanks.
That should be our Stay Subway Fresh.
Reminds me of that.
Stay healthy, man.
Can't think of the women's product.
Oh.
Do you ever have that not so fresh
feeling? Yeah, that. Those commercials that you say.
Right.
We're Subway Fresh. Get a whiff.
Jay Wright once told me, stay healthy, man, when he was coaching Hofstra.
We talked about yesterday, Tuesday, I mentioned if aliens came down and saw the game of football. If aliens ever came down and watched our commercials, they'd say that humans are the most unhealthy living creatures in the world because every other commercial is some hygiene or pills or it's unbelievable.
Or maybe we're just health conscious.
I think they'd also wonder how we ever reproduce because they're all ED ads.
Right.
That's just
how we reproduce,
games, though, right?
Well, that's my point. Like, they need all this help to do this. How does anybody get anything done?
Right.
How do you know aliens don't need
this
ED?
This is just an unhealthy.
It's a very good point by you, Andy. First one of the show.
Or how do you know? Whatever.
Should have stuck
Can
with
we
that
talk
one.
About Taylor Price? Can we just talk about Taylor Price?
Sure.
Can we talk football? Or are we going to talk about aliens?
Here we go.
Mr. Serious always.
Says. Enlighten us.
No, but don't. I mean, that's accurate. I mean, his skills were never in doubt. Everybody pretty much said his skills were speed, hands, decent size, versatility as a route runner. The question is, can he do the mental stuff? Can he go from Ohio, where he had two routes to learn all week, and when they called him, he ran them to a place where there's more than that on one play that he could be running.
He talked to us yesterday in the locker room, and there's one other thing he's not lacking in, and that's confidence.
Oh, God, yeah.
He definitely feels like he belongs. Perhaps. But
you're doubted by everyone. You had that redshirt year. If you start the next year with any crack, you think people are going to swoop in, and if the quarterback reads that you're not quite confident,
yeah, exactly.
Well, you're trying to keep up with Ocho and Welker and Branch.
But he also, I think, backed it up in that first preseason game.
Oh, hell
he had
yeah.
some great catches.
Yeah.
I mean, just remarkable. The fingertips, the toe tapping along the sideline and in the back of the end zone for the score.
But that addresses the physical, which we know he can do. We don't know, how well he ran that route. you know.
That's a good point. You know, now, I know that he
better
was,
than Hoyer threw it.
Right. Now, I know on that particular case, because Brian said it after the game, that that was a terrible throw. I got to make a better throw on that.
Right.
But if you didn't know for sure, that would be an example, Fred, that you could say, well, is that what Brady's talking about?
He's supposed to sit down. He's not supposed to drift another yard.
You know, and that might be one of the things. But you talk about that preseason game, and one of the things that I look at when I watch those games, when there's guys that are playing among players that don't generally belong, in other words, there's a guy like Taylor Price, third-round pick. A lot of people, Andy and I, spent the whole night that night in the pregame socials talking about how excited we were to see this guy play in a game. When he's playing among guys that mostly aren't going to be in the league, I want him to stand out.
Yes.
I want him to separate himself.
That's right.
And he separated himself that night.
That's right.
Stephen Ridley separated himself that night. And there were other guys, too. You know, early in the game when you had Mark Anderson out there.
It would tell you more if
Mark
he didn't.
Anderson was an animal for about 10 snaps that he played in that game. He was a man among boys. I want to make sure that when I have guys that are playing that are factoring into my rotation, so to speak, against a bunch of guys that probably aren't going to be in the league, they better stand out.
They better stand out. You're
and
right.
They did.
Yep. And that's a good sign. It's a hell of a lot worse when they don't. Because now, if you know, like Andy said, when they don't bite when they're puppies, they probably won't bite when they're dogs. If they can't stand out against these guys,
right. And on the flip side of that, some of the guys in the secondary that night really didn't do anything to stand out. Arrington and Butler, I thought, kind of struggled a little bit that night. Will Height didn't even play really until late in the game, so maybe that's a little bit of the flip side of that that argument too.
And the other flip side is hopefully this week Price. A lot of flips.
A lot of sides.
Back and forth. Is hopefully he gets out there and, you know, if the first offense goes into the third quarter, my guess is he'll get some chances. You know, it might be Welker, Branch, and Ocho,
but
he'll get some chances.
With Brady
now
throwing to
right. But more importantly, with the other team using their ones and early twos.
And I don't care if he doesn't do anything. I just want him to be
just
out
compete.
There.
Just be out there and compete.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sean writes in, I recently subscribed to PFW, and it's awesome.
Thank you.
I live in Florida, and I usually get it pretty late. Is there any way to get it mailed out earlier? There is. You can opt for the first-class option, which is rather expensive. It's like an extra buck in issues.
So. Well, but you can also do that only for the season. So you could pay the $17 bucks and then change it back. You can change it by calling Carol Hardy. She's very easy to work with, very friendly.
Right. And the other thing, Sean, is as a new subscriber, you may not know, but you have access to pfwonline.com, which as soon as we print the newspaper, we put it online. So while you're waiting, you can, you know, read the timely stuff as soon as, and only subscribers have access to that website.
Yeah.
Also, he says, do you know which games the Pats are wearing their throwback uniforms this year?
Not yet.
I haven't heard anything about throwback uniforms this year.
That's sort of been on the back burner
all
of the.
That's very important to fans.
It is.
I don't know why, but
that is
because they love those uniforms.
That is one of those things that seem to be important.
Are you sure they're going to wear the throwbacks this year, or
might
be an alternate?
No, I think they'll wear the throwbacks.
Yeah, see, I thought they were going to the alternate.
I thought they were going to a red alternate.
The red, same version of the uniform, but only red.
That's what I was told by certain people,
who we don't see as much anymore.
Hi.
Jerry writes in, hi guys, thanks for keeping us Patriots fans in Seattle in the know. I keep hearing people call in saying they're moving or whatever and won't be able to get Patriots.com on the web. Why not? I do out here. Anyway, my question is, I've been a Pats fan since 1960.
Me too.
In all the years of training camp, looking at the players Bill has in camp now, seems to me there's going to be more hard decisions to make on who to keep and who to let go. There's a lot of good talent in right now. What's your take on it? Jerry, originally from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, who has no idea how he ended up in Seattle.
It's a nice place. It's a little hilly, but it's a
Seattle,
nice place.
Beautiful.
Seattle.
I'm a big fan of Seattle.
I like Seattle.
Cut downs.
Not that hard.
You think it's any harder than it has been in the
past?
Nope,
down to one spot, actually, according to Paul Perillo.
Yeah, Andy and I, we whittled it down to 54, really, without a whole lot of problems. I don't think it's any more difficult. It was hard. It's hard to cut down to 53 in all seriousness, but I don't think it was any more difficult this year. I will say that I do think there are some, depending on how Bill goes, I think there is a chance that some of the talent that gets cut this year will catch on more readily around the league than I know we've been saying
especially
that.
Especially on the D-line.
We've been saying that for a lot of years.
and we usually watch, and none of those guys
and
get
none of
the,
you know, and with very few exceptions, you know, Ted Larson last year hooked on with Tampa Bay, became a starter, but very few exceptions. Our guys sort of get cut, and we don't really hear from them very much after that. This year, I think if they go young, if they go with all the veterans that they sign on the defensive line, like Eric just mentioned, I think there's guys like Cade Weston and Darryl Richard, and if Brandon Dedrick is on PUP, or some of those young defensive linemen, I think, will garner some interest. Conversely, if they keep some of the young guys, a veteran team that might be looking for a Sean Ellis or a, you know, whoever, Gerard Warren, one of those guys. Maybe Gerard Warren might be an example of a guy who could, you know, depending on how things get squeezed out of a spot. Mark Anderson might be a guy who gets some interest around the league. I don't think the Patriots have had a lot of players like that.
Well, they're going to be cutting either potentially high draft picks. You know, Tate's a third-round pick. Butler's a second-round pick. Brace is a second-round pick. Or starters, guys that have started a decent amount. Will Hite, if he's a cut. I mean, he was a starter for a couple seasons at off and on. So well, there's some resumes there that make
that's that young and old that I
Eric
was talking
is
about.
Off to the locker room. Right.
And those are great examples that Andy just brought up.
Where
there's a lot
there?
Of lot of pretty high draft picks.
Practice. Yeah, locker room interviews.
Locker room. Okay.
Later today.
Locker room's going.
It was later today.
A lot of coaches always feel, oh, the guys that we cut, all their teams are going to be interested in. Are the Patriots in any better position that way? Do you honestly think that, you know, guys on the Patriots could be that are cut from the Patriots could be contributors on other teams?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think that
they're the best team in football, so their cast-offs theoretically are better than others.
But I think the guys that Andy brought up are, you know, Butler, Will Hite, Tate, just to mention three guys, are second, third, and fourth round picks in the last 4 years and less. I think those are guys that would intrigue another team. Well, maybe it didn't work there in New England, but they're pretty good.
Even more so than Tape. So, I think someone says, like we do, we liked him when he was coming out.
We liked him coming out. That's
Let's
what
give him a shot.
Bill does that all the time.
So
Mark Anderson's an example of that. Bill obviously liked this guy a little bit and was intrigued when he became available.
So if you're Bill Belichick, do you have Nick Caserio get on the phone and get on the other GM and say, look, you know, you can wait for us to cut this guy, but if you want him, you know, we're willing to take a third or fourth round pick and start trying to get picks for these guys rather than just cutting them?
Yes, why wouldn't you?
No, I'm just asking. Gene in Daytona says...
you don't read my blog, do you?
Not all of it.
That's what I wanted you to...
Oh, I didn't know what you were gesturing. You had a big chicken thing in your mouth and you were pointing at me.
Andy wrote a terrific blog post this week about Butler and Will Hite. The Giants have lost three cornerbacks since the start of training camp.
I think a fourth now. I thought I saw the scroll
been
another
devastated.
Guy.
Yeah.
So that's a good trading partner. You might not get a first-round pick, but you can get something for Will Hite and or Butler, a guy that you probably have, Bill knows probably 85% right now whether those guys are going to factor into the equation.
Right.
So maybe you say, all right, well, let's wait till after the preseason to make sure that we're still healthy. You know, all of a sudden you trade Butler tomorrow and then you lose
Bodden
or someone else and you got a crunch. But we're playing the Giants that last preseason game. Maybe they get to talking and you make a deal. Now, before anybody starts, they're not going to get OCU for Darius Butler, okay?
Gene in Daytona, three things I'd like to get to. One, I've stopped watching ESPN before Patriots games because the pregame social is so much better.
Thank you.
Do you think ESPN's ratings are seeing a drop, thus their alignment with Rex in the Jets, or are they just trying to piss off Patriots fans?
I also heard that Mangini's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I got an email today.
By a tweet.
Yeah. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I saw him on Sports Nation last night with Michael Smith, with Coward and the chick I kind of like there. What's her name? Beetle.
Oh, she's gaining traction.
I like her. I thought he was okay. Now, he's not bubbling over with personality.
Is he fat or skinny?
Kind of in between. But I didn't think he was terrible. They were talking about him not looking at the camera. I don't care what you do. You know, looking at the camera.
It's about
substance.
Talking,
what are you saying?
Didn't he also have a lisp?
No. Michael Smith was making fun of him, talking about Chris Johnson and running backs and the short shelf life. And they said, like, look at, you know, Peyton Hillis last year. You know, you can get running backs. Look what you did with Peyton Hillis. And then Michael Smith goes, and then you ran him into the ground. So who wants to use him going forward?
What Ocho reminds me of is a kid looking for attention. He should be more concerned about learning the playbook and not missing blocks like on Welker's catch at Tampa. Belichick didn't miss it, and I am sure he felt pretty small when the game tapes were reviewed. You don't piss off Belichick, and I would bet Price would start against San Diego. Ocho's ego will be taking another hit. And also, how does Dowling and Vereen look? Too early to tell on those two.
Well, they haven't really done anything.
You know,
stretched.
Belichick and Ocho Cinco did have words on the sideline, apparently, and some say that it was because he missed an assignment.
It was on the the Welker catch?
Yeah.
That got down inside the 1 yard line?
Certainly plausible.
He easily could have blocked someone, according to what I'm hearing.
That's coaching. I mean, I don't think it's that big a deal.
No, it isn't.
I'm sure he holds them to a high expectation. Sure.
I want the players to do what they're supposed to do. I mean, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it for Ocho Cinco, but if he goes out and catches the ball and becomes a consistent option for Brady, it's not going to kill me if he misses a block 15 yards downfield on a play.
Right. But
I don't want him to not make a block. Right. I don't want him to not try to block. I'm not suggesting that. That's going to be of far lesser importance. For Bill Belichick, it's very important. For me, it's not so much.
No, but my point is you're also sending a message to Ocho. This is a business. This is serious.
And believe me, that's exactly.
And a message to Taylor Price and all these other guys that I hold everybody to a pretty high standard.
And that's what Bill Belichick is smarter than anybody about. That's what he was doing.
Right.
I totally agree with you.
Yemi from Texas, do you guys think Dan Connolly is starting to get exposed as a Jag? Ellis abused him in the playoff to the Jets. Gerald McCoy also gave him fits on Thursday. Do you have any alternative other than Dan Connolly? If Vollmer has a slow start again this year like he did last year, our right side could be trouble.
It's true.
Giving Solder's play, re-signing Light was a mistake. I actually think Solder may currently be a better player than Light. Do you guys think there's a chance Light gets cut?
Nope.
No, and Solder is not a better player than Light right now.
Yeah, how could you know that?
Solder also, by the way, taking some reps at guard, so maybe they see the same thing with Connolly. Bill was asked about it in the press conference on Saturday, I believe. And, it was the one coming off the field. Yeah, it wasn't really a press conference. It was Bill talked to reporters coming off the field after practice on Saturday. He just said, you know, the normal stuff about, you know, multiple position versatility, can only take a certain amount for a game, probably only going to have 7 active for a game, so guys got to double up, but maybe that's something.
True. I mean, that's
That's absolutely true.
But if you do a good job when they're just checking,
and then by the way, Conley's struggling. If this is I didn't think Gerald McCoy did much in that game on Thursday. Maybe I missed something, but I thought that, to be honest with you, I thought for the most part the Patriots' offensive line dominated.
Yeah,
all 5 of them. Dominated. Now they gave up a sack, and Andy mentioned Brady had some pressure around his legs. He did. There were some kind of funky moments there, but I thought for the most part they ran the ball through wide open holes in the entire first half. And for the most part, Brady had a lot of time to throw.
John in L.A. writes in. Hey, John, in plain sight writer, John in L.A. Awesome to have you back on the air and on a Thursday, no less. Just wanted to say that pregame social is an excellent name. Perhaps the reason certain people don't like it is that they don't get the not-so-subtle nod toward social media, which plays a key role in the show. I call these people morons.
I will call them morons.
I'm fully behind the idea of monetizing the show. Even if there's a small subscription, $5 for an entire year perhaps, even 99 cents on iTunes for an entire year would certainly generate some revenue for these guys to get paid.
Yeah.
Someone smarter than I too, can be a moron every now and then, might have a better idea, like, I don't know, monetizing the show in some way, other way that doesn't make us pay anything. But even when I had day jobs, Andy's cue to pretend I ever waited tables, I wouldn't have thought for a second about paying a minuscule fee to listen for a year. And given how many listeners PFW in Progress has, the money coming in would be not too shabby. That said, I wouldn't want to do it unless that money was going to the guys.
Yeah.
At least in a somewhat meaningful way. And any observations or rumblings on Razai Dowling, would love to know sooner rather than later if he's more McCurdy than Merriweather.
Well, I have absolutely nothing to go on aside from the single practice I saw him participate in, to which I dubbed him Tubucky Jones.
Big and stiff.
Big and stiff and not a cornerback. I thought he did not look fluid in his hips. I didn't think he turned and ran very well, but That was literally like five plays in a single practice, and he was hurt after that. So for all I know, he was sore the day when I was watching it. Beyond that, we've seen nothing.
As a kind of factoid here, the guy, Devin Holland, who got fined for the Woodhead hit, evidently that's his second fine in two preseason games. So that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of player that's – and again, I'm not saying trying to hurt somebody, but it's a young, aggressive player trying to make a name for himself.
Yep.
I think you're increasing the likelihood of something bad happening.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Steve in Albany writes in on webradio@patriots.com. Hey, guys, including Eric. After Haynesworth's court appearance, the only comment he made was, "Go Patriots!"
Go Pats!
I was curious, do you think he was doing a spot for that annoying Bank of America commercial you guys always play?
No, Fred thinks, what did you think? That it was a really good sign his mind's on football.
Yeah, I do. No, I guess we didn't talk about this on air.
No, we did, but I don't think Paul was here.
I definitely, that was organic. That one, that's the first time I heard that.
No, my first thought was, you know, this guy's coming out of a personal situation, you know, could have been serious. You know, he's relieved that probably, you know, this is going to be behind him now. And his first thing to say was, "Go Patriots." To me, that's a good sign. It either says that the Patriots helped me out with this situation, and, you know, I'm grateful for that to be part of the organization, or that, look, I'm ready to play some football here. Go Patriots. Andy, your view was he's aligning himself with a class organization, and that's good for him.
It's helpful to him, and I compared it to Michael Vick aligning himself with Tony Dungy. The more good, respectful alliances you can make when you're coming out of, you know, a bad situation or trying to rehab your name and image, the better it is for you. What better way to do that than on the courthouse steps say, "I'm a Patriot. Woo!"
Yeah.
I'm with Brady.
So, it could be just me reading between the lines again.
As you are wont to
do. I just think it was interesting that that's what he decided to say to the cameras. So,
I think he's glad he didn't go to jail.
Sure.
Not just for the obvious, but he's an NFL player who is 6'6", 360. I mean, they always talked about, like, when you're Mike Tyson and you walk into a bar, there's a bunch of guys that want to pop you so they can say, "I knocked out Mike Tyson." Well, if you go to jail, there's a bunch of guys that could make their bones by taking out Albert Haynesworth.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure he would
say something different.
What?
I thought you were going to say something different.
His mind is always in the gutter.
Yeah.
That's because I've been on the show with you for 10 years.
He's watched Shawshank Redemption too much.
Do you know my brother never saw that?
Really?
What?
It's a great movie.
Disgusted with him. You guys really got to give him a hard time with the draft.
Isn't that a good movie? Now,
it's fantastic.
Is he being Paul stubborn and refusing to see it?
No.
No, just...
Yeah. No, he just has never seen it.
But it's on, like,
I don't know why
TNT.
You say it's me being stubborn on some of the movies I haven't seen. I would love to see a lot of the movies that I haven't.
No, it's not just movies. It's just, you know, life.
You seen Unstoppable?
Denzel,
train won't
stop.
No,
I haven't seen that.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
I'm stubborn when I argue with you, Fred.
When you breathe.
There's a
when
difference.
You walk.
There's a difference. Like Andy just says, you know, if I hadn't seen a movie, Andy just says, "Oh, yeah, Paul's not interested. No interest."
Well, that's like, what you said about Gladiator and 300 and all those.
You had no interest in Gladiator?
300 I've never seen.
And no interest, right?
Not really.
Thank you.
Why?
Because it's a great movie. God forbid he watch it.
I'm not a huge fan of those movies.
Men movies?
Yeah, he doesn't like
epic. He likes the chick
flicks. I like
chick
flicks.
Say anything.
Exactly.
Great movie. I like chick flicks. I do.
Well, why can't you like both? Because I like both.
I loved Braveheart.
Well, if loved you like Braveheart, then you'd like 300.
But isn't Braveheart better?
Probably as an overall movie, I would say.
So
the way I look at it,
the way I look at it is I've already seen it.
300 was the way it, the, you know, the type of movie is, it's the same, but
now,
the way it's shot is completely different.
Now, even though Braveheart was certainly guilty of this, I'm not generally a fan of the, you know, 4,000 people died in that movie when I watch it. You know, it's not really an uplifting thing for me. I did think Braveheart was fantastic, however, and that sort of flies in the face of my problems with those kinds of movies.
Okay.
But it's not stubbornness. It's I just haven't seen it. I didn't say I'm never going to see 300. I'm going to put it on and then say, "Oh my God, I got to get that off." That would be being stubborn.
No, you said no interest.
I'm not looking to go see it. Yes, that's true. It's not a movie that I like regret seeing and not seeing. Which there's a lot like The Usual Suspects. I didn't see it for like 10 years. Till after it came out, and then I finally saw it. But it wasn't because I was trying not to see it. By the way, overrated.
Didn't deliver. Theodore from Jacksonville, Florida.
Teddy!
Say anything, by the way, Freddie. Great movie.
I've never seen it.
Never heard of it.
So how do you know it's not good?
I know what it is. I didn't say it wasn't good. I just said
he really didn't say it's not good.
I never said it wasn't good.
I looked right at Andy when I said, "How do you know it's not good?" And you go, "I didn't say it."
But here's where I'll be Paul stubborn and say, even though
I didn't call you stubborn.
Here's where I'm going to be Paul stubborn, and even though I know of that ilk, that's a good movie. I have no interest in seeing it.
You don't like chick flicks?
No.
I'll bet you some of our listeners like chick flicks, but they won't admit it. I'm not afraid to say that, like the music I like. I'm not afraid to say that.
I've seen you reading People magazine.
That's girly music. I'm not afraid to admit that I like it. I like dance music.
You should be. Whatever you like, you should say I like it. I mean, why is it embarrassing because I like them?
Some of those romantic comedies, they're kind of funny. Now, some of them are really bad.
I can't stand them.
Some of them are really bad.
I hate romantic comedies.
The bad ones, to me, are the worst movies ever.
I agree.
They are the worst kind of movie.
They can be insufferable.
Because a bad action movie, it's still action.
I hate,
a bad romantic comedy, to me, is shut
see,
it
that,
off, go
that's
away.
Where I, you can make fun of me. I'm not a huge action movie fan.
Because you're a bit of a girl.
I just don't really think it's all that great to just watch stuff blow up all day. I would rather watch, if it has some sort of story to it, then that's fine.
How about like Saving Private Ryan? Did you see that movie?
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Lima Swede from, this is Theodore from Jacksonville, because so long ago.
Did he sign with Jacksonville?
Well, let's see. Lima Swede from the Steelers can be a big target. I guess he didn't. No, Lima Teddy is from Jacksonville. He's writing this email.
I know. Lima Swede was cut by the Steelers. I was wondering if maybe he signed with the Jags.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, he says, Lima Swede from the Steelers can be a big target for Brady. He's 6'4", 220. What about Nani from San Diego? Both these guys are deep threats and can run routes. I say kick Tate to the curb and sign one of these guys. What do you guys think?
I would kick the tires on Swede because I loved him coming out.
Legadou Nene is not a deep threat. He was a converted fullback.
Swede, not really a deep threat either. Not a super speed guy.
Swede, I would definitely kick the tires because he's one of those guys. I'm always interested in first-round busts. I'm dead serious. When someone else busts out a first round pick and then you can have the guy for nothing, that's why even in the offseason, Vernon Golston. Now, the Patriots have obviously made a slew of additions at that position, but I think the Jets picking up Aaron Maben, colossal bust. What do you got to lose? Now you don't have to pay him the signing bonus that Buffalo did.
I hear that.
The Bears aren't paying him, Golston, the signing bonus. If he doesn't work out, you don't lose. It's like when the Patriots brought in Jonathan Sullivan.
Yeah.
There's nothing to lose there. He's probably going to crap out, but who cares? Take a shot. Lima Swede, I would take a shot, see what's there.
Ted also says, I saw a little piece of that interview with Rex Ryan. I think that he finally realizes that Belichick really is better than him, but I also think that between the lines, I think he's extending a hand to probably become a coach in New England one day.
I think that would be a monster
coaching staff. What are your guys' thoughts?
I think it'd be intriguing.
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Think you're stuffing back on Grandpa's cough syrup?
But wouldn't that be fun? Because everybody thinks Bill's kind of conservative and Ryan isn't. So for them to come together as two respected defensive minds, that'd be fun. And I don't think there's any shot in hell of it happening.
No,
but.
And just to let the facts get in the way here, Rex Ryan, from the day he got there, has called Bill Belichick the greatest coach.
Now they believe what he's saying.
He has said it millions of times. If it was me against Belichick, then we got no chance. Right?
Right. Unless it's a footsie contest. Finally,
see,
I know.
That's why they hate you. Now.
And they would be Bill. He's not okay with
He's
those comments.
He's not okay with that.
You're suspended for the start of next show.
He has a lot of respect for that program.
I'm not on the roster. Finally, I know that's everyone sure. is still a little worried about what the defense will look like, but it will
nothing.
Be in full force.
You didn't make my 53.
I know everyone is still a little worried about the defense will look like, but it will be in full force by week one. And I say this team is back to win it all. Especially with the passing of Mrs. Kraft, that will be extra motivation for the season. Go Patriots.
Wouldn't that be great if this defense was like the Moss offense from 07? We're like, it's going to take a while, and who knows how it'll be used, and they just come out and
bang!
Seven sacks the first game, two interceptions, rolling.
I'm just interested to see how they play over the span of, say, four, five, six games to start the year. You know, is it going to be constantly like it was in the first quarter against Tampa Bay? And I don't mean results. I mean style.
I don't think so.
I don't either. I think there's a very good chance that they play a team that is known for their blitz pickup and, you know, their sound blocking schemes that Bill won't do that against.
San Diego. They have guys that can beat you down the field. They have a pretty good offensive line, right? And they got McNeil on one side and the other guy on the other. And they have these backs.
That guy.
And they have backs that have, no, but they have Tolbert and who's the other
no,
guy?
No, but Hester. You have to admit the other guy on the other was pretty funny.
And you could get badly, badly burnt.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, build the whole game plan thing.
Whoever Miami has at quarterback, I'm coming after him. Whoever, who's the third week? Buffalo? Do we have Buffalo the third week?
Yeah.
I'm coming after him.
Right.
Although.
Buffalo. Whew. Buffalo, we could sack Ryan Fitzpatrick 15 times that game.
Who's their backup? Oh, it's Brad Smith.
Well, don't they have another guy?
They got another guy. He's.
I thought they were emphatic. He's a quarterback here.
Well, technically they have another guy that's the backup. I can't remember his name now, though.
Sam in Chicago.
One of those veteran guys that's been around a little bit.
Sam in Chicago, how concerned should we be that Spikes is still out? Was this injury one where he was playing basketball?
Big Pen, maybe? I have my doubts if it was. Yeah, I mean, it's an ankle injury, according to reports. That was supposedly the problem playing basketball. And when I tell you, Andy and I were out there for virtually every training camp practice. He didn't make it through any of them, even before he was out of uniform.
Right.
He didn't make it through a complete practice without something. He either went to the sideline to get looked at or didn't participate in the running at the end of practice or had to leave practice altogether. And then now it's been at least two, but probably 3 weeks since he's been on the field at all. I think that he got hurt in the offseason, came here, and tried to play his way through it and hasn't been able to.
Sam also says, can you give us any insight as to your hobbies? We know Eric goes to Vegas and stays with the family as a hobby. What are you guys up to?
I don't really have hobbies.
No hobbies?
When I'm not here, I'm yard work and life.
Well, just spending as much time with
taking
the kids
care
as
of
possible.
Your estate. You know, your property.
Last night I was mowing and
I drove. Now, do you let some of it lay fallow every year?
What does that mean?
Well, yeah. The guy alternates sometimes on the field where he plants potatoes on one side, not the other.
What does that mean?
You know, when you have a lot of land, you let.
I don't really have that much land.
You do. You let a portion of it, you don't plant anything for a year to let the nutrients build back up.
And it's called lay fallow?
Lay fallow.
I didn't know that, actually, the word.
Oh.
I know the process. I didn't know the fallow part. The word.
Okay.
Do you have controlled burning on parts of your property?
No, but I do have a lot of burning that I do in the middle of it.
What the hell does that mean?
It burns leaves.
And anything else that I'm trying to get rid of. Couches, entertainment centers.
Really? plastic furniture?
The entertainment centers.
When he's done, he takes a can of Aquanet and throws it in the middle.
No, if you buy the stuff at, what's the Swedish place?
IKEA.
The IKEA entertainment centers. Holy crap, it sounds like a space shuttle is taking off. I can't even imagine. In an apartment or something, it went up. You know what a dry Christmas tree does and goes whoosh?
Crackle, crackle.
10 times worse than that.
Really?
Like somebody was spraying jet fuel on it.
Really?
I got so worried that something was going to blow up and kill me. I've never heard that noise before from a fire.
So you're just burning whatever. Huh?
Can I burning house.
Over? Can I? Yeah?
That's fine.
Really?
Okay. We have fun with it.
Okay.
Burning house.
I throw anything. Chairs. And then
what do
I
you
just...
do, Freddie? What are your hobbies?
Well, it used to be fly fishing. That was my hobby.
Except he never actually did it.
Then I got married. So right now, I guess I don't really have any hobbies.
I mean, don't you have to do like
reading.
House stuff?
I read a lot.
Yeah, I mean, most of the stuff
I do is
house-related stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, seriously, just I play Legos a lot with the kids.
I was very proud.
That's what I do.
All the kids stuff, yeah.
But
my hobbies include coloring,
right.
Play-Doh, riding bikes.
Legos.
I was very proud of myself the other day. We replaced a lot of the dryer vent stuff.
Yeah, did you hear how much he paid for that?
And so, just wait a minute.
He put in a dryer vent that cost more than my house.
No.
Wait a minute. You needed a dryer vent?
Yeah. It was,
and how much did it cost?
Well, the whole thing, $500. But anyway, so...
dryer vent. What do you mean the whole thing?
So, did you have a hole in the house already?
Yes. All they did was take one out and put one in.
And it cost $500?
Well, they had.
I don't think it cost that much for me to get one put in.
I probably got ripped off.
Gold plated, actually.
Yeah, I probably got
But I don't... Off. I mean, it wasn't... I think it was like $300.
They replaced all the tubing because it wasn't really the coat. It was too narrow.
And then they took you to the cleaners.
You're supposed to have the 4-inch pipe metal.
Do you lay that pipe?
Anyway, so I have that.
You know about 4 inches.
I have the drop ceiling, and over the shower, there's one of the tiles has a hole in it with the light, and the light has like this shell that goes up in the hole. Well, my wife threw away the shell, so now it's like you're never gonna find that piece. And so what do? You have this exposed fixture there.
In a shower?
Yeah. So
that doesn't sound safe.
Well, it's all right. So, but
it's all right.
It's kind of like flying back in a hurricane.
So I was very proud of myself. Rather than replace the old tile, I bought one of those frosted tiles. And I just put that there. And so now I don't have to replace the outside part of the fixture. It looks great. Actually lets more light through because it's not a narrow.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well done.
So, and that was $6.
Right.
Just shows you, you know. You don't always have to spend a lot.
$500 to put in a dryer vent.
That does seem a little bit extreme to me.
I probably could have gotten like a plumber to do it for cheaper.
Well, who did it?
It was this place called, Dryer Vent Wizard.
It's a company that just does dryer vents.
No, it's a franchise. And they're very good, but.
You know. They're very good. You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Well.
So. Anyway, it looks good now.
I have. My washer and dryer, what I don't have, I never figured this out. I have it in, it's in the downstairs bathroom, and the washing machine is right next to the window.
Yeah.
So the hookups, you know, for the hoses are right next to the window.
Yeah.
And the dryer is to the left of that, away from the window. So the vent has to go from the dryer across, you know, past the washing machine to get to out the outside wall, so it vents to the outside.
Yeah.
And I just can't figure out why they didn't switch those when they put them in.
I don't know. Where's the water come through? Maybe.
Well, it comes through the wall, but I mean, you could have
run a pipe.
Yeah. You could have. Yeah, I mean, the other side of that wall is the garage. Right. So you could have done anything you wanted with the pipes.
Yeah.
You know, now I would have to move the pipes to move the washing machine.
It does always seem though that when you always see a washer dryer next to each other, the washer is always on the left. You notice that? The dryer is always on the right.
And mine's on the right.
Right. But I wonder where that came from. Why it always goes left to right.
Because that's how we work in this country.
I guess so.
You take it out of the wash, you put it in the dryer.
Right.
I have to take it out of the wash and put it in the dryer.
See, I went left to right. When Paul said it, he went right to left.
Louis in Illinois, I can't wait to hear the emails about this conversation.
Well, they asked us what our hobbies were. I don't know how we got on vents and
I'm
going to
make beer,
fixtures.
I think. Somebody gave me one of those beer things.
Oh, like, yeah?
The beer buddy or Mr. Beer.
So my Northeastern games count as a hobby?
Well,
I guess so, yeah.
A sad, sad hobby.
At least I'm not playing Words with Friends with 38 people.
Most of those people are on this show.
And we all know about those people.
Yes, they're our listeners, and they are tremendous human beings that you think are stupid, but I tend to think are great.
Only when they're part of the pregame social, Andy.
Louis in Illinois says, "Hey, guys, and Eric, I really enjoyed last Tuesday's show. You guys never disappoint. So I was wondering about the defense. Based on what you guys have seen in practice and the games, you think Bill will run a 4-3 again, similar to the Giants or Tampa 2? Finally, can you guys explain 4-3 spacing used in some 3-4 defenses? Keep up the good work, and I love the PFW page on Facebook. It really unites Patriots Nation."
Along those lines, somebody asked if they could get an RSS feed of the pregame social so that they don't have to download everything or something.
Possibly.
Okay, can you put that in the back?
Can you get that through?
Possibly.
Bonnet.
Why don't you explain that 4-3 spacing?
I don't really know.
Well, come on.
I mean, I don't really know what the...
At Jumbo?
I don't really know what the question is.
Fred, why don't you repeat the question?
Explain 4-3 spacing.
4-3 spacing has the two defensive tackles lined up on the guards and the middle linebacker and the outside linebackers on the tackles.
I think what he's talking about more is how... It's more technique, probably, the question is. How do you handle gaps when you're playing 4-3?
Well, are you two-gapping or one-gapping?
Yeah,
that's the question.
The question for the Patriots right now, to me, is that they are not two-gapping, at least not all of them, and certainly not all the time. They are now shooting gaps unlike I've seen on a consistent basis in New England. Now, not all 3-4 teams play two-gap either. You know, San Diego has done both. Pittsburgh certainly has done both. And I think you'll see, and Andy and I talked about this a little bit, I think you'll see some of both. Don't you think you might see like Vince doing some two-gapping?
Well,
maybe Haynesworth not.
Yeah, to some degree, but yeah. I mean, you're going to have stunts as well.
Is that a question for Bill?
What?
You know, techniques up front, or you think we just get shut off?
Yeah, I think he'd get shut off. I don't think he would necessarily.
What are you nodding your head at in there, Junior? I can't call you Junior. You're too big.
What'd you say, Matt?
Matt's a huge dude.
I'm a big guy. You guys would get shut out if you asked about, is Haynesworth going to be one gapping, Vince going to be two gapping.
Oh, no, but I wouldn't say it specific like that. I would say, is it possible to have a, you know, at a four-man line with some guys might be playing one technique and the other guys might be playing another. I wouldn't
say,
well, Vince two-gap and Haynesworth not.
Part of the idea of the two-gap is you always have an overlapping responsibility.
And
because it's not hard. It's not, I mean, it's not easy. It's very difficult to ask a guy. You have to own that guy. You have to be able to control both sides of his body. That's, to me, a very difficult thing to ask. But that's why there's always two guys overlapping.
And that's what he always says. It depends on how you want to play the run. There's seven, you know, you have those eight gaps for seven people, and you have to figure out how you want to defend those gaps.
But beyond that, you don't really, because the nose tackle has both A's. The inside linebackers have A's and B's. So all three of those guys are kind of in the middle for the A's. Now, if you start shooting gaps with one guy, you lose your overlap, and you start to open up more seams, less sure defense. So you're actually better off kind of shooting with everybody, but there'll be slants and things too. You know, it won't always just be telegraphed.
I think you get your overs and your unders.
No, but I think that's what
the overs and your unders.
I think that's what the emailer was looking for.
I heard that guy was on TV wearing shorts the other day.
They were talking that he was on Comcast, Fred Smirlis.
With shorts on,
and then they were making fun of him for the kind of shorts that
they should not have him on TV.
TG and NJ says that when Andy watches 300, it moves.
Yeah. I like that.
Not as much as it used to for Danny Bogger. Remember the old punter, Freddie?
No.
Danny Bogger.
Oh yeah, sure. Danny.
He was.
Oh yeah, sure, Danny.
He was kind of stacked. Yeah. He was pretty big for a punter.
Yeah.
And he said that he saw 300 and decided to get bigger. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Was it you who haven't seen that 300?
I haven't.
No, Paul hasn't.
That scene where he. Can I talk about something?
Absolutely.
The scene where he kicks the guy into that big hole is one of the coolest scenes in. I'll see you, whatever he says. It's got a cool line, and then he kicks him. That's
see you in hell, something like that.
And that hole is supposed to go all the way to hell.
Right.
Like, that's a cool scene.
Rex.
You wouldn't like it because it's manly and physical and everything. It's not like a girly girl.
That's completely unfair.
You're not a man.
Eric's not here, so he's going after you.
Whatever.
Beatty writes in, I haven't listened in a couple weeks because I've had two-a-days. I heard the argument last week.
Not for long, because once the NFL does away with him, that'll trickle down to college and then to high school.
I heard the argument last week about Rex Ryan, and I thought Fred was doing his best to stay in the argument, but he couldn't get a word in edgewise with Big Head talking. Great argument strategy, Andy. Yell louder and cut Fred off. Say your point.
Works
and then
TV.
End it so no one can challenge you. I like your insight, but you argue like a first grader.
That's what he does to me every week.
And I win like a first grader.
Yes,
on the
you
waste
do.
Management.
But wait, what was...
Trash talk.
What was the argument?
I don't know. It was something about Rex Ryan, how I
You were
him.
Saying he puts undue pressure on his players by pumping them up.
Right. Last week was a great show. Keep it up. What do you guys think about the Raiders taking Pryor in the supplemental draft and losing a third rounder? Oh, and that Beetle is a diehard Jets fan.
I thought third round was too high.
I'd like to give her my Patriot missile. Yeah, that was way too high, but not surprising because he had a great workout and he's an athlete that has no position.
Yeah, I
but
think
is
that
it true they know now they don't have a third, fourth, fifth, like they have like
they don't
no
have
picks
a second,
left.
Right?
They have no two.
We have
three,
their second.
Oh, two, three, four, and five. I believe they don't
they have.
They
have one late in the fifth round.
I just knew two and three. I knew, but yeah, I think prior and maybe that was part of it. They don't have a four and a five. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, a late
so
five
does that mean that you couldn't use a supplemental pick?
Right.
So maybe that's why they picked him so high. Because they figured we can't wait till sixth round and we want the guy. We don't. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but
maybe that's what they listen.
Wouldn't Bill Belichick in that scenario trade for a fifth round pick or trade for a fourth round pick?
Bill Belichick would never get in a position where he didn't have that many picks.
But he's also not going to get in a position where he's going to be backed into doing something dumb because of the situation.
Yeah, but we're operating under the premise that you've identified this player as a guy that you really want.
Which is flawed.
I disagree with it. I don't think the guy's worthy of that. That's why I said I think third round was too high. But maybe that was their thinking.
Greg from the billing department chimes in. He says, Andy, Paul, keep kicking ass on the pregame social. Love it.
Thank you. Keep listening. Tell a friend. Spread the word. PPGS.
Yes, Paul, I can admit that I like chick flicks, but comedies and actions are fantastic. Go watch 300.
Oh, comedies. Comedies are fantastic.
Watch 300. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I saw it in the movie theater about 10 times when it first came out.
Side note, also Deidre Hart, one of her favorite movies of all time.
You know, like The Hangover. I mean, I've watched that a million times.
So three movies that I saw recently that I figured I'd tell you about. One was Hall Pass, effing hilarious. Andy would absolutely
Hall
love
Pass
this movie.
Hall Pass was very good. I saw it.
Crude sexual and crude sexual humor. The nice. Lincoln Lawyer, one of McConaughey's best movies ever, and Limitless, really good trippy movie with a cool twist.
Didn't
All right,
see
guys, have a good weekend,
year.
And I'll talk to Annie and Paul on Saturday.
Thanks, Greg.
Do you guys see the Adjustment Bureau with Matt Damon yet?
No.
That's on. That was pretty good. I think you'd like that, Andy.
Okay, I'll keep it in mind.
Yeah.
Adjustment Bureau?
Adjustment Bureau.
That's where he sees what he's not supposed to, and then they're on
the
run. Oh,
yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I was intrigued by the trailer for that. Yeah, I will see that.
It's worth seeing.
I will see that when it's on the movie channels. I saw Social Network last week, finally. Yeah. I told you about that.
Yep.
Fred, can I ask a question about Patriot Place?
What about it?
How come there's no one of those big white boards that tells you what movies are playing at the cinema?
A marquee.
A
marquee.
I don't know. It might be a Route 1 thing. I'm not sure.
I find that weird.
That's what Annie like and I speculated was
the
probably
the only movie theater in the world where you
thing.
Can't drive by and say, huh, so-and-so's playing.
I hear you.
You can't even really tell it's a movie theater
a
without
point.
That. I mean, that is what, when you think movie theater, you think I drive by, it lists the movies, and I go in.
Yeah, I think that Patriot Place should have more Route 1 presence, if you ask me.
I'll bet you that was something that
they
prohibited.
Yep.
But really, you drive by a movie theater, and that's when you decide, oh, I'll go in?
No, but like... No,
you know, but
they
have the
I mean.
Internet now. You can find these things out.
I just always figured you decide you're going to a movie, then you decide what you're going to see, and then you go.
I guess. Every other movie theater in the world has that big white board with all the movies listed.
When you go out, how much gas do you burn just getting off your property? Is it like the Denver airport where you're just like driving forever and you're still on your property?
I don't drive that much. The only time I drive, I don't drive to get the mail. I do drive to put the garbage out.
You tell your wife, I'll be
you
back
drive
tomorrow,
to
honey.
Put the garbage out?
Damn freaking straight I do. I'm not going back. You got to bring the recycle bin, and then you got to get. So that would be like 20 minutes.
This is back in the day. You know, when he goes to the general store, it takes him like 2 days to get back home.
It's like Little House in the Prairie.
Right. Yeah. Right.
My town's going to the big recycle things that they can pick up, just drive up and flip over with their arms on the truck.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Very
I've
excited
seen those.
About that.
So
I've seen those.
You get one of those on your property, then
they give you a big, two big garbage cans, one for glass.
It makes
the
neighborhood look very Stepford Wife type.
Yes.
You know, it's like
oh, I know.
Everybody's got those.
But I'm just excited they're big, and I probably can do it every other week instead of every week, and just dump everything in the barrel and bring it out there every couple weeks.
Yeah, because you won't be able to put those in your car and drive then, right?
Well, I have a truck, so.
That's true. You're a truck guy.
And the kids like to do it. They ride in the back.
I was thinking of getting a pickup.
You should.
You know, a beat up one.
Yeah. What?
Not an expensive one.
You want to go from a caddy to a beat up?
No,
pickup?
No, not to replace it. An extra.
Oh, your second call.
Well, then the kid can drive it.
The kid.
He's getting his
How
license.
About the kid gets his own damn car.
I can't afford to get an.
Get
old
a
car.
Damn job.
Well, he's got a lot of things going.
You
on.
Have a lot of flaws in your parenting. The kid doesn't shovel the driveway. He doesn't put the mulch down.
Doesn't
You're
do any
gonna
yard
buy
work.
Him a truck. What went wrong there? Kids are supposed to be utilitarian. They're supposed to be useful.
How old
in some
is he?
Way.
He's like 16
He's
now.
16.
Yes.
My God, by the time I had a job.
Right.
A regular job.
Get him a job.
In addition to the yard work I had to do.
Get him a job. Even if it's just mowing lawns or something, get him a job.
His issues. Rick writes
his
in,
issue is he's got you wrapped around his finger.
Rick from the Netherlands, how's it going? Before
Kevin reports he was up by 4 a.m. every day.
Oh, sure. Milking the cows and feeding the chickens.
Get him a get him a paper route. Route. You say route? Route. 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 Paper route.
You can see either way.
He's starting to talk fast again.
Before the first preseason game, I asked you if you guys see a franchise quarterback in Hoyer and Mallett. Has your opinion changed about Mallett in that way? And second, I'm surprised that Bill isn't chewing off some heads of those annoying reporters. They ask a question, and then the next reporter just rephrases his or her question, which is exactly the same. Don't you guys notice this, and does this get on your nerves?
No, actually, I think it's a product of the environment, and you don't get an answer, and you try to come at a different angle to hope to get an answer.
Yeah,
and sometimes you do.
And today, that was the same reporter, by the way.
And he is annoying, don't get me wrong.
But I just didn't think he was today.
No, just in general.
I think
it's Albert Breer, if anyone's wondering, of the NFL Network.
Old friend.
And I like
And
Albert.
I had a good talk with him after the press conference.
And I would say all of this that I'm saying today. Right now to his face.
Oh, absolutely. And he would laugh.
As I would with any reporter. Some of them wouldn't laugh. They'd get sensitive and maybe ask Paul.
Again, I don't know why you continue to go there. But anyway, today Albert was asking all the questions about Haynesworth, and he was rephrasing them in an effort to see if he could get Belichick to bite, knowing that he wasn't going to, by the way. See, that's one of the things that I think that fans don't. When we ask questions sometimes, and I say we as the media, we know or don't necessarily expect to get a forthright answer. But you still have to ask and see what he does say.
Right.
So, A, you have something to report that he said in response to the question. If you don't, in other words, if there's an issue going on and you don't ask a question, how are you supposed to say whether or not the team responded?
Right. Right.
You have to give the team's response. You have to give them a chance.
Right.
The opportunity.
That's being fair.
Right.
Otherwise, you're not being fair in your writing. You're being slanted.
Right. Request for a response went unanswered.
Or here's the answer.
Belichick said, quote, I don't know.
He's done everything we've asked him to do.
Right.
Right. Derek writes in, hey,
oh,
guys.
Oh, boy. Is this Derek from Arizona?
Yes.
Oh, boy. He's had a fun week. Brooks Reed had two or three sacks.
Hey, guys, and Chaz. Back at school and hope everyone is doing well. Eric, really disappointed in you for acting the way you did about your shirt. The guy spent money on you. Come on, man.
Yep.
Really love the pregame social and the upcoming radio schedule for Patriots.com. It'll be awesome. My question today is, looking back at the draft, if you knew the team was transitioning to more of a 4-3 look, would you like to select someone else? Do you wish the draft went any differently?
No. Well, yes.
I would have liked to.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Quinn. But yeah. I wanted Robert Quinn for the 3-4 or the 4-3. But yes, I would have liked him. I probably would have been higher on your boy as just a pure defensive end. Mark Anderson,
yes.
My guy.
Yeah. I was going to say yes because of that same reason. I think there were guys that I probably didn't have on the radar at all because I thought they were strictly, you know, that Indianapolis Colts kind of 4-3 end that we wouldn't be interested in. If they knew back then I still would have wanted front seven help. Just might have been a different kind of front seven help.
And then I might not have
and
got
to answer
Andre
the
Carter,
the previous question, by the way, about the quarterbacks, I haven't changed my opinion. I don't think Hoyer is a franchise quarterback, and it's just too early to tell on Mallett.
And he's exactly what we said, I think, then, that you see some flashes of good, you see some flashes of
physically, bad. He has some skills that wow you. Yes.
You know what I like today? Everybody says he, you know, the questions about him, these like vague character, leadership, all that crap coming out of college that kind of some people believe pushed him down the board, whatever. He walked into the locker room out of the weight room the other day, shook, what's the security guard's name? The mustache?
I forget.
Very nice man.
And he stopped. If you whisper it, they can still hear.
He stopped, shook his hand, put his arm around him, talked for a minute. Everything we've seen, I haven't gotten that vibe that he's a total anything.
Right.
Douche, prima donna, anything.
Well, that's what they said.
I haven't gotten that vibe.
Know, right.
I don't see it.
Right. Matt from Oregon. Haven't heard from him in a while. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. And Fred, Paul, Andy, and whoever's in the booth. No, you suck it, Andy. I just wanted to say that I listened to the pregame social last week and thought it was great. As Paul said, not exactly PFW in progress, but pretty close. Anyway, I had an idea for next season while I was listening. Would it be possible to get Paul and Andy to call a preseason game? We spend the entire offseason talking about how the team is going to look, in particular the new guys, but the coverage of them during the actual preseason game is pretty weak. I think it would be great to hear you guys talk about how things are shaping up during one of the games. Who doesn't want to hear, and I told you so, from Andy when someone said he would make a good play?
Oh, my God, how many times would he say that?
I know I do. I realize that this would mean 3 more hours of radio after a 2-hour pregame show, but I think it'd be great, even if it was just one game. Also, one more little thing. Sometimes when you guys are talking about something newsworthy, you talk about it as though everyone has already heard about it.
Yes, we do.
But if you guys are pretty much my only source of Patriots and NFL news, I'm usually left to figure out what it was. Just a little note.
I've noticed that with us.
Yeah, we should note that.
Okay, what can we have an example?
Just sometimes we talk about like something that's newsworthy, and we just kind of assume everybody already read the story we read or saw the report we saw, and not everybody has.
Yeah,
we'll try to set it up a little. We'll try to do a little bit better with that.
Yeah,
but I'm not really sure that
we do it. I've noticed it, but then like we're too much in the midst of the discussion to like really backtrack and start over.
So we need a better scene setter.
Yeah, we need a better host.
He's taking shots at us, Freddie.
What was the other thing on there? Oh, that's a serious question. There's no chance in hell anyone will ever allow us to do a preseason game.
No.
But why is it that Randy Cross and Don Crickey show up for, like, the pregame walkthrough and then do the game?
Well,
doing the game, why don't you come to training camp every day and watch practice?
It's
more important that time of year than ever. The regular season, I think you can get by doing just a one-day thing.
I get your point. You can stop talking now because, you know, we only have a few minutes left.
I was told to stop.
I understand exactly what you're saying, and as we see, you know, now that all these other preseason games are on TV, we see that I guess the thing is with these teams is to bring in national people to do their preseason game. I guess they think it lends a little credibility to the broadcast. Because I notice a lot of these, like, you know, the CBS guys are doing.
Some of them have them and some of them don't, but.
Vern Lundquist, I think, does Green Bay, and you know.
But I don't care who does it. Just give me a week. If you're coming to do a Saturday game, come on Monday and watch a week's worth of practice, so you have side stories, backstories.
These guys can't. They have other jobs.
What? What does Randy Cross do? He's a CBS TV guy.
No, he's doing other stuff.
What?
He has a serious show daily.
So do it from here.
His highly rated show, Crosstalk, Andy.
Right.
I've never heard of it.
Well, you don't have Sirius.
What's Don Criqui doing?
He's getting ready for Notre Dame.
He's a broadcaster. Notre Dame what?
He does the Notre Dame games.
No, he doesn't.
Not on TV, he doesn't. Maybe he does them on radio.
I asked
Patriots on defense,
must,
Thomas, Bruschi, and Colvin.
You know, I asked him, I go, are you doing Notre Dame again this year?
Ninkovic?
And he said yes.
But maybe he does it on radio. Yeah, he doesn't do it on TV. He never has.
He does no, the radio broadcast.
I think he's getting for, they take us out for bocce at three.
Brandon Mayweather was his other one.
Oh, Brandon Mayweather.
Brendan Mayweather.
And he used to call Matt Light Todd Light all the time.
Yeah, that was his famous one. I'm okay with that. I do Kevin Carter on
No, but it's a good point by Matt from Oregon, because I do think that, you know, preseason ratings are 14, like about 14.5, compared to in-season, which is like 40 or 50 for New England, which tells you it's more hardcore.
Right.
So if it's more hardcore, they probably want someone like you guys that know the ins and outs of the team and they're getting real information. And maybe it's something that teams should think twice about before, not just the Patriots, because, like I said, all teams seem to do this. They bring in these national guys to do the preseason broadcasts.
What do you think the paycheck is for four preseason teletech?
It would be zero.
And I'm out.
Well, if we did it, it would be zero. But yeah. I'm wondering what they get.
Right. Yeah, what is Vern Lundquist? I mean, Don Criqui.
Listen, obviously, Andy and I are not, you know, broadcast worthy.
Yeah. He struggles to host the pregame social.
I do. But I've always wondered why we can't do
something. If you had like a season play-by-play with you two guys in the booth?
It would be phenomenal. It would blow people's minds.
I think it would be pretty good, even if we could just on Patriots.com, if we could do some sort of live commentary of the game.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm being serious, Fred.
I'm being serious too.
Watching practice out there, Patriots.com watches, and Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe. Seriously, watch as much practice as possible. Try to take in as much practice as possible. I got to give him credit. He has come here. I assumed he was one of those lazy national, you know, that minutia is beneath me. He's the exact opposite. He takes it beyond what we do, where he gives wins and losses to every one-on-one drill and has guys that are like,
right.
Looks like MLS standards where the guy's 3-7-2 at the end of the day's practice. But no, a lot of people don't watch it to the intent nature that we do. And I think that can be valuable in the preseason. You have endless stories or reps to fall back on.
I think, you know, it's a good point.
With all of this new media that's coming out now and this, you know, importance that is placed on tweeting and blogging and all this stuff, half the practices get missed anyway. Because the way it's generally set up in training camp is there's a press conference before practice. Usually Belichick speaks right as practice starts. So when he's done, you get out to the field and practice starts. Well, a lot of the mainstream beat writers now take Belichick's press conference and they'll write two or three blog posts off of that.
They don't even get out to practice.
And they'll come out halfway through practice.
Right. They're just there for the quotes afterwards, for the player access.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think Andy's right. Greg Bedard from the Globe is one of the few that actually watches what's going on in the field. A lot of times they're not even watching. When they come out, they look in the other way and they're talking amongst themselves. Now, we all do that too. We get caught up in the conversations, but we keep track of what's going on in practice, and I think that's valuable in a preseason game when someone comes in and we say, well, yeah, that makes sense because we saw him doing that on Thursday at practice.
Right.
Most of those other guys can't do that.
No, it's...
You know, blitz pickup. Bill was going into great detail today on young running backs. You know, conventional wisdom is what about rookie running backs, Fred?
That they don't know – they're not good at blitz pickup.
No, but that they can come in and oh. – and,
not the answer he
no,
wanted.
No, he's right. That is the answer that Belichick gave.
Right.
But generally, a lot of people think conventionally
they can
pick it up right away.
Yes,
it's one of the
true.
Easiest positions to. And it's Bill flat out said today, I don't agree with that. I think it's a very difficult position to play. Blitz pickup is a very difficult thing to learn. Recognizing defensive fronts and blitz packages and personnel groups
so ridiculous.
And being where you're supposed to be and do it is a very difficult thing to do. He said, I'm not saying it's any harder than any other position, but there's a lot that goes into being a running back than other than just running the football.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you think felt like that?
Right.
Because I think conventionally you get 100 writers, 90 of them would say, running back, easiest transition from college.
It's the run position where you can come in and contribute.
Andy
right away.
Asked a follow-up question on that about Shane Vereen coming from Cal, which is deemed to be another conventional wisdom kind of thing, a pro-style offense. So Might he be more ready to do some of those things? And Bill says, I'm not really familiar with Cal's Cal system. That's one of those where he says, I don't know, when you know he does know. Right. But for whatever reason, he decided not to play along.
Brooklyn Matt writes in, he says, imagine if somebody tuned in for the first time at 1:30 and heard 10 straight minutes of the following. The logistics of Fred and Paul's dryer vent configurations and Andy burning everything in his yard and riding bikes. Freaking classic PFW subject matter. You guys kick ass. Now, this is new. Matt, you're telling me that I have to cut my Oscar acceptance speech short here? What does the music mean? Does that mean it's the end of the show?
You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Remember, pregame social, 5:45 Saturday evening. Be there.
Or be square.
Other than that, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.